to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Johnny Carson began a routine about Wayne that seemed to mock his masculinity.
You know, I'd done his show 20 times. Why would he be making those jokes about me? And he would say things like, I don't know if you've seen Wayne Newton and Liberace in the same bathtub, but it is pink.
The new Wayne Newton wasn't laughing along anymore. He went to Carson's studio unannounced and confronted him.
And I closed the door. And I said, I don't know why you're doing that kind of trash humor about me, but it better stop. And it better stop now or I'm going to knock you on your ass. It's that simple. I'm sorry it had to happen because I was a big fan of his.
Yes.
And maybe therein lies the real problem.
Yeah.
I was hurt
on your ass
more than I was angered or felt threatened about my masculinity.
The jokes.
I was hurt.
Stopped.
Yeah. You bet your ass the jokes stopped.
Jokes stop. No.
Jokes stop here.
And I closed the door. I said, I don't know why you're doing
this. Jokes. Bag boy.
But if they don't stop now, I'm going to knock you right on your ass.
Was your brother there?
Jerry?
Yeah.
Jerry Newton?
That is really Wayne Newton's brother, Jerry Newton.
There is a brother known as Jerry.
That's right.
Jerry Newton.
That's why you took up karate, right?
Well, I took up karate for one reason and one reason only.
What was that?
I wanted to kill my brother. Jerry Newton.
And let's take a moment for a Don and Mike spotlight. Spotlight on, and very rare that we spotlight on this city. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you guys. Late night. Dallas. There's everybody in Dallas is playing this tape, but we have a national show.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, he makes a lot of sense. Bill Parcells.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two. Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays. Okay?
Why would there be any?
Surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Gotcha.
Is that a disclaimer?
Gotcha. It's funny to listen to because he almost just comes out and says it. He actually starts and says,
no disrespect.
They've got some... Listen to it again.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Right.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few...
Right there,
but he caught himself, and then he gave the disclaimer.
He's got some...
No disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays, okay? Surprise things, and...
No disrespect
to
the Orientals. And the best thing is, I'm watching ESPN this morning,
right.
And the crawl on the bottom of the screen is, should the NFL do something about Bill Parcells in this outburst?
Yeah, that's the big controversy.
It's a good thing he said that, no disrespect, otherwise he might have offended somebody.
Right. He's covered this way.
Yes, he is.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Why is that, Bill?
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays. Surprise things. And, no disrespect to anyone.
No disrespect.
He thinks he's covered it. The Cowboys have already come out and apologized.
And hasn't he apologized too?
Yeah, but didn't he issue a statement of regret? His apology was more like,
I'm sorry you felt that way.
Get bent. I apologize before I said it.
Right. The magic phrasing, I believe, was, I'm sorry if you were offended.
Right.
And that's the ultimate cover.
Yeah. Yeah. No disrespect.
Sorry if you were offended. No disrespect. No disrespect. No disrespect. Gotcha. No disrespect.
No disrespect.
Now, no disrespect. I'm not going to do a Jap attack on you here with these jokes.
Right.
I'm telling you right up front.
Here they come.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Today, these are not groaners.
These are the type where I will tell you the answer and then the question.
Very good, Mr. Shannon.
For instance, hello.
Hello.
J-Lo's marriage and the tributes to Ronald Reagan. And then you say, what do they have in common?
All right.
Said, what do they have in common?
What do they have in common? What a setup.
Name two things that will be over by the weekend. These jokes are not really made for interplay. They're more for the solo DJ.
Yes, go right ahead.
Ronald Reagan and Star Jones' boyfriend. Name two men who will be inside big black boxes this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I don't get it.
President Bush and Nick Carter. Name two people who were in Paris last weekend.
Oh, my God.
Okay, hold on. I got one for you. I got a groaner for you. Mr. Drysdale?
Yes, Mr. Shannon?
What do you call an Arctic bear that goes both ways?
What's that, Mr. Shannon?
Bipolar.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's just...
Oh, boy.
One more time before we start the show. Then after this, we'll play the jingle.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two. Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on... Mike wants the defense to do well.
Uh-huh.
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays, okay? Surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone.
Here is John Norman, our production director. Johnny.
If you play it again, and after he says it the first time, ride the levels up, and you can hear somebody in the background laughing at him.
Really? Okay. All righty.
Okay. I think I'd rather hear this one more time.
In the 70s, Wayne Newton was determined to shed his baby fat and baby-faced image. And borrowing a bit from Tom Jones and Elvis, he put the world on notice he'd grown up.
Yeah.
Newton earned a black belt in karate and on a diet of Caesar salads dropped over 100 pounds. He grew a pencil-thin Errol Flynn mustache and reshaped his Waikiki wave hairdo, dyeing it a deep black. Despite the makeover, comics on the strip who'd long made Newton the butt of their jokes were still making fun of the baby-faced boy with a girlish voice he'd once been.
Yeah.
And I tell them, the jokes stop now.
Jap attack. Hey now.
There we go.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
All right, here they come, the young prick. Oh, I hate those guys. I hate them. And oh, look, they have a little girl with them.
Yeah,
I don't hate her. She knows not.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself.
Hello.
A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
What about those guys?
I say the blitzkrieg stops now.
There you go.
There
good.
You go.
Yeah. Good
all
afternoon,
time.
Mr. and Mrs. Halter That, and all the ships at sea. They're crazy in the head and crazy in the bed.
There you go.
Tom Geronimo and Mike Nutty O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Tuesday, 06-08-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. And thank you for listening to Don and Mike Show. A new episode on June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
20-04.
I like that.
Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from Canada. Got to use that special number, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK. Call us toll-free, 202-432-1067. We got a show today.
Yes, we do.
Today, watch out.
Watch out, America.
So I'm telling you, watch out. Today, we got a show.
Wow.
Well, at least by our standards, what counts for a real show.
Oh, we got some interesting people on the show.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Did you know that the American Idol, you know, I'm still a faggot for this show. I still wear pink for this show.
I know.
Okay, here's the latest controversy with American Idol.
There's a controversy.
They get down to the final 12.
Uh-huh.
And then they put those 12 on the CD, and they all get to go out on tour.
Right. Supposedly.
Well, they decided that they're only going to take 10 of them.
Yeah, they're not going to take all 12.
And guess who number 11 is? It's the big dumb guy, the big dumb country guy.
The country guy.
The big dumb country guy, the football player, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's his name, Matt Rogers. He will be coming.
Matt Rogers, who sang country songs.
He was awful. He'll be coming on the show to plead his case today as to why you should.
He wants to be in the show.
Sure. Let him in the show.
He should be.
Also, Juice. Now listen, this is like a real good show today.
Right.
You know, we've talked about OJ and the fact that he's done all these interviews, and we talked about a TV pilot that he's made.
Right.
Called Juice.
Right.
Where he goes out and surprises people like Ashton does on Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
They haven't sold it yet.
No. What's the guy's name, Robbie?
Harmon Leon.
Harmon Leon is the host of the show, and he'll be joining us as well to tell us what it was like taping TV shows with OJ Simpson.
Wonderful.
Where they surprise people. And, Oh, and also you'll meet Beth Ann's only friend on today's show.
Very nice. Very, very exciting. A full plate today.
Get to know her. That's just the planned stuff. B.A., if you're listening in the other room, you know, she saved her job. Of course, she wasn't going to be fired if she didn't get Les Moonves.
Right.
But she very happily called everybody this morning very early to say, Les Moonves will be joining us on the show tomorrow.
President of now Infinity Broadcasting and
right.
CBS Television.
Right.
CEO, Prez, whatever. I mean, lots of titles after his name. Yes.
Lei Chen, that's tomorrow.
Lei Chen!
On the zoo.
Very, very excited to have him on. Yeah.
Tomorrow. I'll tell you this. Oh, before I start about last night, and I want to say that Buzz and Marsha are not a couple that you have to have forced conversation or routines with when you go out. Remember I complained about...
Yes, I did.
We had been out with couples recently. We went out with one couple that was great, and the other couple was like forced free, and I were doing their skits for them.
Yes, and now neither couple seeing you ever socially again.
Well, no, actually, the bad one called.
Oh, they did?
The bad one called...
To say, was it us?
No, the bad one called to say...
We're getting together with you?
When do you want to do something?
Did you blow them off?
I let it go to voicemail. I let my wife handle that
one. Well, now they know who they are.
They will need some time, of course, for you to work out some new material. They don't want to rush it.
Well, see, I think it's obvious that they don't listen to the show, because I said that there were two couples, and one couple bored us to tears, and the other couple was okay. So,
well,
anyway.
Maybe see if you just go out to the dinner with the couple, the bad couple, and just be silent.
No, it's more fun. Listen, it's more fun to go out with people like Buzz and Marsha.
It was fun.
But before I tell you what happened last night... My wife did something to our dog, our terrier Max. She had him groomed. The dog. Well, here's the thing.
The laser hair removal place.
Yeah, right. Don't even say it. Don't even say it, Rob. There's no need for the plug. We've had the dog 7 years, a cute little terrier,
right.
And he's never had a haircut. So she takes him into PetSmart yesterday, and they say that, I guess the deal is, you leave the dog for 5 hours, or you pay 10 extra bucks, and we'll just blow through and get it done in 2 hours.
Right.
So she's worried about the dog. She said to me, the dog's never been in, to get its hair cut.
He's never been confined.
Right. You know, he's been to the vet. So I pay the extra $10. Have it done for 2 hours. So she called me yesterday, towards the end of the show, during a commercial, and she said...
What a ripoff.
She said, what?
But, you know, it'll be, if you pay $10 more, you know, you don't have to wait the whole 5 hours.
Well, that's how they guilt
you. Basically just let the dog sit for 5 hours.
Right, they guilt you into it. You know, it's like, well, we will watch the dog for 5 hours. It takes five hours.
Such a ripoff.
Unless you pay an additional $10.
Right.
You know, then it's all good. Then come back in 2 hours.
Now, what are you literally paying for the $10 for? You're paying extra. Really, for nothing more than just, just really being hassled, not being, what's the word I'm looking for? Not being held up by those people.
Right. But, you know, what the hell? I should pay the $10. You know, less time there for the dog with other dogs. The dog doesn't know. Now, here's the thing.
I say you load the dog up on, like, raisins.
The dog.
And then just let it stay there for the 5 hours.
The dog, and I don't want to put this the wrong way. You'd have to, like, look at a picture of a card. One of those generic cards that says, like, happy birthday, with a cute little dog's face, with a terrier's face.
We're not going to let the dog stay here for 5 hours, but we gave the dog beefarini.
Yeah. Here's what they did to him. They gave him a haircut, and his face looks different because all the hair is gone, and his body is like Mr. Biggles wearing.
They really shaved him down to the skin?
Yeah, and...
They flipped him is what they did.
And... This is what surprised me. The other dogs didn't recognize him.
Sure.
Now, don't dogs normally, like, operate on... I know
they
smell.
They operate on smell.
Smell's the number one. They smell, like, 1,000 times more than we
do. He probably was powdered as well as clip. That's what they do. They put that nice little powder on him after they clip him, so the scent probably wasn't there either.
And a lot of the scent was in the hair, I'm sure.
And I've got to think that the dog's got a complex.
I know most of mine is, Buzz.
Because everybody that sees the dog, everybody that comes over and has seen the dog, sees it, goes, oh, my God. Ha, 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 ha. Looks at the dog, and the dog's looking up like.
So it's got kind of like a little beard on the face, but then it's just smooth.
It is Mr. Bigglesworth, although not, like, Mr. Bigglesworth with 3 days' growth.
We used to have a Cocker Spaniel, and a Cocker needs to be trimmed, I think, twice a year, or at least once a year.
Yeah, and they get shaved. They're cute when they get shaved.
And when Pepper used to get shaved, he'd just sit in the corner and shake.
So anyway, I know the radio is on at home right now because my wife is at work.
Which
love saying that.
Is this Max?
That's Max Boy,
the little guy.
So Max Boy, you're looking good, Max. Sorry, I laughed at you. You're looking good, and I thought it was funny. The other dogs, even this morning, when they were all out together, the other two dogs that we own were chasing Max because they thought that Max was
food,
another dog, someone who, or food, you know, take your pick. So last night we go to dinner for the the finale of the La La weekend.
St. Frieda Day.
And thank God my wife's birthday is over. The celebrations are over.
Well, just in time to prepare for next year.
Banks are now open. Your kids are back in school. You have electricity, all of that. Thanks, of course, to La La. But the real story last night was Buzz's wife. And I'll tell you what really, and I didn't say anything at dinner because I didn't want your wife to feel self-conscious.
Uh-huh.
But you know when Buzz pushed her off the ladder?
Yeah.
You know, Buzz mentioned...
Shattering her wrist.
Buzz mentioned that Marcia had a cast on.
Right.
Well, you process that, but then you think...
forget about it.
And you think, I thought it was a wrist. She's got a cast from her elbow that goes all the way down to just the spot where, like, just her just the edges of her fingers come out.
Well, now you know the truth, right?
Yeah, well, that
wasn't really just a fall off a ladder. That was a fall off a ladder followed by a very loud stomp.
That's what I'm thinking. And the night was ripe for opportunities to talk about this, but I didn't, you know, Marcia was in a good mood. We were in a good mood. Right. We're all having a good time. And she's handling it real well, the fact that she has a, and Buzz has not portrayed this correctly. It's not like she has a wrap on her wrist.
Were there any butterfly bandages anywhere on her face?
No. None that I could see, but she has a hard cast on.
Those are huge. Did she seem like she was maybe drifting in and out of consciousness?
Well, that's normal Marcia.
Right.
But here's the thing that unfortunately we didn't get to see. As we're looking at the menus, we're deciding what we're going to have.
Oh.
Marcia said, you know, I'd really like to get a steak. I'd really like, she said, the duck looks good. She said, but if I get that, Buzz is going to have to cut my meat for me.
Oh, no.
And I was dying to see that. She ended up ordering the salmon.
You didn't feel like doing that at all, Buzz?
Oh, it's not that I didn't feel like it. It wasn't necessary. She ordered some flaky fish.
Or is she just uneasy anytime Buzz handles a knife?
That was bad.
So she ordered I think it was salmon, some type of salmon, that she was able with her left hand to negotiate and get up there.
It's
a real cast. How long is that cast going to be on your wife's arm?
2 weeks down, 2 weeks to go, as I understand it.
How are you as a caretaker? Are you being a good caretaker?
Oh, I'm the best. Yeah, that movie with Annie that we play clips from.
Misery?
Misery. I'm helpful like that.
Yeah, real good.
Yeah.
And they're full of stories. And
it's called hobbling.
And then hobble. Then you know, the wine started flowing.
Good.
And it, at that point, you know, I just want to say, my child bride, really. Really, and I love her more than anything. And we kid and we do jokes on the radio and everything.
Sure.
Really, last night, she was out of control. She was out of her mind, already discussing her 50th birthday, which is next year. And we had, but didn't we not have a serious discussion about how much it would cost to get some singer to come out and sing in our backyard?
It was a serious discussion with a desire to laugh running underneath that.
Well, see, I don't read it like that.
Yeah.
No, I don't read it like that. See, and I said this to Frieda last night. You know, she thinks that somehow if she sees, like, you know in the movie Analyze This?
Yeah.
At the very end, Billy Crystal comes out with the girl from Friends, and Tony Bennett's out there, and, like, their whole backyard is lit up, and they're dancing.
Right.
You know, hello, that's a movie. That doesn't happen in real life. And the singer that she's decided, she's already started the crisis. What do you? Oh, you got a tape of Boss Skaggs?
I do.
Okay.
This is the
sushi she wants for her 50th birthday.
I'm doing an awful job with the Boss Skaggs.
See, I couldn't eat. It's the magic of Mr. Dennis Murphy.
I could have gotten
she
straight
wrecked that album.
For me,
that bitch.
Anyway,
God,
you're right.
You know, really, that makes me mad every time you play Dennis Murphy because there is no Dennis on there. All it is love.
Well, I could probably get the Captain and Tennille for less than it would cost to hire Boz Skaggs.
You think? I think Captain and Tennille and Boz Skaggs might be in the same
neck and neck
price range.
I don't think either way out of my price range. Either way out
Are
of my.
Are you sure?
Am I sure? Yes.
You never know.
Yes, I do know.
You've researched it?
Yes, on behalf of my wife, I called Thomas Aloysius Schoberg,
yeah,
a good friend of ours,
right,
from back in the day, and inquired as to the going rate. And my God, how ridiculous is this? Really, I mean, I love her. She's the greatest. She's my partner. She's
sure,
my confidant.
Of course.
She's my best friend. But my God, heard the ice dam. Heard the ice bridge.
Ice dam it. I almost threw it across the room.
Last night, while we're celebrating her 49th birthday, and God knows you heard about it yesterday on this show, while we're celebrating that, the discussion became, what are we going to do to make the 50th even bigger and better?
Well, it's a milestone birthday.
We have to have something special. So I said to her...
Shoot her out of a cannon.
I said, oh, God, how about just take the part with... Take her out of that. Just shoot her with cannon. You know, I'd gone to the top of the trouble of talking to a guy that we all know in the record business just to say, how much, you know, just humor me. How much to get, for instance, Tommy James from Tommy James and
oh,
the Shinedown.
Oh, so you didn't ask for
both. Oh, no, I did. I did. And I got a different price range for different singers. They all have their prices.
Yeah, I would figure Boz Skaggs would be...
Boz Skaggs is...
Would be up there because he's got so many hits.
Five figures for Boz Skaggs. Five figures.
Really?
Yes. Only...
See, I didn't think he would...
Only four figures for someone like Tommy James. Like I would do this. Like, you know, I said to her last night, I said, you know, honey, I'm about to have a midlife crisis, or I'm having one, or I've been having one. I have no desire to have the grassroots play in our backyard,
uh-huh,
you know, and incidentally, the grassroots would be more expensive. We decided more expensive than Tommy James, but not nearly as expensive as Boz Skaggs.
Right. Yeah, Boz Skaggs probably with that many hits.
Yeah, but either way, here's my point. Shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah, you know, if you got really like an orchestra,
it's a society
band, you know, like a big band that you would get for like a social event,
no,
you're paying the same kind of money.
Well, either way, I ain't doing it. I'm telling you what, 49 was all I could do to muster it up last night just to keep it going, sitting there at the table.
Are you going to have, a DJ?
Yeah, I'm hiring John Bob. See, this is the thing, Buzz. I don't know if you could sense my hostility last night.
Of course, I could. You did a great job of keeping that under control, but I could.
We are there to celebrate my wonderful wife.
She's already excited about the next one.
Yes. It's like this one is not even done yet, and already we're having to discuss what the next one's going to be about.
Very good.
So that's all I wanted to say about that.
Good luck.
And Buzz and Marcia are a goddamn interesting couple to go out with.
We have fun.
And if you ever want to talk ever about anything that you or your wife said at dinner, let me know. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, sure. No, we can talk about anything. I can't imagine what you'd want to know.
I bet if I tell you during the break that you won't want me to.
Okay, we'll chat then.
But anyway, you are a kooky couple. And
yeah,
we are a kooky couple.
Yes. And everything went well at the dinner. Did you bring out a cake?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Because
there was no cake?
No cake.
Was there an exchange of gifts?
No.
Was there singing?
No need. It was low-key.
It was a card and dinner, and we had some flowers for Frieda.
Just what we wanted. It was outstanding.
You didn't sing?
No, we didn't sing. No, we didn't sing.
No.
Disappointed.
No, you're disappointed.
I am.
You want singing? Here you go. You want singing?
Yeah, and now we're going to listen to Dennis, but it's not going to be Dennis. It's going to be that...
Hey.
Bad woman. Oh, now he gets his own line, and then she comes in.
Every time. you on me?
Is this all Dennis? A solo?
Yeah, this is
solo by Dennis.
Just Mike me.
See, Mike the bitch isn't on this
Hang
one.
On to me.
Just Mike me.
Close to you.
Listen, either way, this is a closed topic on this show.
This is
for
beautiful.
The next 364 days. Okay. Whatever it is that my crazy, cunning honey wife wants for her 50th birthday, here's what I say. Make it to 50, make it to 50, and then we'll talk about it.
Very good.
Okay? And when I say make it to 50, I mean, let's see if I don't kill you over the next year. Yes, we'll have some gigantic party, and we'll do just like in the movies where we'll string all the light bulbs on ropes and get a big white tent in the background.
I'm looking forward to that shindig.
Look like whatever movie it is that has to look like with whatever big name we have to get at.
Hey, can I offer a congratulations to a family member?
Yes, of course.
I would like to, and I didn't do this last week. I didn't do it. They were in town very briefly, but I would like to say congratulations to my nephew, Michael Parsley, my sister's son, who is graduating high school, and on to Colgate University.
There you go.
Colgate University.
Well, sorry, I didn't mean the buzzer.
Congratulations. He's going to be going up there and hopefully playing soccer for Colgate University. So I'm excited Excellent. About that. And his father, who is now, you know, this is what I'm up against in my family, all right? I know me and my personal situation and my trials and tribulations,
yeah.
you know, and now really being known in the family as the bar owner. That's really, they like calling me that now, which is, the thing is, Paul has now sent both of his kids to his alma mater.
This Paul, is your brother-in-law.
Paul, yeah, Paul graduated Colgate and sent both his daughter and his son to Colgate University.
Well, that's great.
It doesn't get any more like, you know, squeak, squeak, perfect, perfect. I am jealous. I'm
Maybe
very
someday
jealous.
Your wow. daughters will both have the thrill of going to American University.
Hey, I'd be happy with both
of them. Wouldn't you be
them.
Proud?
I would be very proud if they both went to American University, but I'd really rather have them go. I want them to go, like, you know how your kid goes to Clemson and you can kind of get into that Saturday football? That's what I want. I'd love them to go to a nice big school. I didn't go to a big school, but whatever they want to do is fine. Convent, no problem at all.
Right. And my son is, it's valid. He changed his major now. Beer pong.
Beer that pong.
Is, beer pong is the major.
Very, very
the,
good.
The discussion I had with him this morning was, and Buzz and Marsha, sorry about, you know, we did go, Frida and I did go off with a bit of a Bart tangent last night.
Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah, you didn't talk about that long.
Well, we were just discussing some of the trials and tribulations, the ups and
sure,
downs.
The joys. It's interesting.
The joys of living with the, you know, a know-it-all 19-year-old.
Yeah.
So he calls up today. He was out last night at a friend's house, calls me up this morning, and I appreciate that.
Sure.
Let me know he's alive.
And I appreciate it.
He says, Dad, I'm up. I'm going to go to work. I said, great. What about tonight? He said, I'm going to a bar. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not going to a bar. He said, I can go to any bar I want. As long as I don't drink, I can go in the bar.
Not really.
And I said, I know you would know that. And I said, I don't think so.
And yeah, incidentally, I'm up on that law now, you know, so if you ever need any help, feel free to give me a call.
No, I already know the law. And he just likes working me.
Sure.
That's it. He just likes working me. That he got me real steamed for a couple of seconds where we're having an argument like we did the other day about movies or whatever we're having. And then he just said, hey, Dad, chill out.
Do you know what their strategy
and
is?
And then he called me dude again.
Oh,
and
no.
I wish my son would stop calling me dude.
You know what the strategy is?
Hey, dude.
For kids that are underage trying to get into a bar, and I see it now firsthand all the time. The strategy is they rush the door. They rush the door. You usually see, if you got a lot of underage people coming in, they're usually about, they show up with like 20. Because they think that really, if they can create enough pandemonium mm-hmm. walking in, that they're not
going to... They'll slip through?
They're going to slip through, and right. It's funny. It's funny the way... And then when you do, when you see somebody card them, they all do the... I think it's in the car. I think it's. Do you have yours? I'm not sure. And then they get this look and it's just progressive guilt just coming through all of their faces.
Anyway, we got a break. Mike, I'm glad you do that at your door at your place.
Uh-huh. Thanks. Look around
well,
the cafe.
You know what the key is? The key is not if you do it like on the weekends. You have somebody at the door that does it, and then if they slip through, and this happens, not often because usually you get them at the door, but the server does it too, and the server catches
gotcha.
Them too. You got the double pronged sword there, but it's I feel bummed because when you and I were that age, I don't know if you were, but in my state when I was it was 18 when I was
Excuse me, it's different. When I was 16, I was already out of the house working. I was working not only full time in radio, but working part time doing DJ gigs at bars.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was 16.
Walked. I couldn't get a. I couldn't get in the place.
Right.
But because I was the DJ. The
you could work
DJ. Sure,
right.
I could work there. Mm-hmm. They never asked how old I was.
Very, very strange. In my day, it was 18 years old.
Right.
I've always been a believer. If you can go off and drive a Humvee by a rocket propelled grenade, you can right. probably come back to the United States and have a beer.
And that's why you have a fake ID store next door.
Buzz, thank you for your company last night.
Certainly,
sure do
fun.
Like
thank
being
you.
With you and Marcia.
It was fun.
And just to tie up this whole family thing of mine.
Yes.
You should know. And Rob ends up paying the price on this one. That when Frida talked yesterday, remember she's running her mouth about how she never gets a Mother's Day card from Rob?
Yes, so from Rob's son.
From Robert Spiewak,
her godson. Trip.
We were having a discussion about that last night, and she said, well, I was just kidding about that. I said, I know you were kidding. I said, incidentally, we're the godparents also to her sister's, one of her sister's kids, one of the twins, Drew. And I said, Drew has never sent you a Mother's Day card, and that's your sister's kid. And she said, I know, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. I feel bad about it.
I didn't get the impression she was kidding.
No, she said I was, neither did I.
Right.
But
yeah.
She said, I was kidding. And then she calls me a little while later, and she said, and blah blah la la and la la and oh yeah, incidentally, I talked to Carrie for a long time, and I'm going to the beach with Carrie. I think just the two of us will go just for a day. And see, here's how I know it works in my wife's mind, although she'll say that this is not how it works. She knows that she was kidding, but maybe not everybody knows that she was kidding.
So maybe she's got a little of the guilt?
Yeah, absolutely she's got the guilt.
She's taking Carrie down to the beach because she's got the guilt for saying that they should send a card.
So then I had to call Rob today and say to Rob, hey, listen, dude. Yeah. I know Rob doesn't like it either to be called dude. I said, dude, hey, I'm sorry. I think you're going to get stuck with your kids because I think that my wife feels guilty. She's taking your wife away for a day.
And the irony is this is what you should feel guilty for.
Right.
For sticking
right.
me with the kids.
Yeah.
But wait a second. Hold on. And I speak up for my esteemed colleague to my right here.
Mm-hmm.
That was directed at both Carrie and Rob.
That's right.
And if she's got the guilt, where's the guilt? For this man right here.
But she'll tell you she doesn't really have the guilt.
And she called him not.
She gave me a great line for him, but she called him the chosen one.
The chosen one.
And aren't we forgetting someone? Shouldn't Frida be taking her godson to the beach?
Yeah. That might be nice.
You know what? Really.
Yeah.
Tie a bungee cord
bonding.
To him, though, because he'll be out in the water like a cow.
if he gets just far enough, he springs back.
Snaps back.
I'm just kidding about that, although it's a wacky coincidence. And she did say, I didn't really mean that. She said, why'd you take those phone calls? I said, I didn't know what those were. It just said Frida. I said, take the phone calls. What do you want? You afraid to take the phone? Well, I was just kidding. I said, well, dumb it down the next time you want to come on the show and scream about how come you didn't get a Mother's Day card from your two-year-old godson.
Yeah, she wasn't kidding.
Well, back to the subject of mothers. Perhaps a call to my mother and a babysitting job. Who knows?
There ye go. Uh-huh.
That's the story of that. Listen, our break is here. When we come back, here's the deal with our new producer, Beth Ann McBride, B.A. McBride. First off, we must school her about her arrival time. This girl, this woman, mm-hmm. or as Gary Puckett said, this girl is a woman now.
Girl is a woman now.
She really needs a life. I mean, I'm glad that she's throwing herself into the show. She's fantastic. But this morning, when I first chatted with her, and I don't mind, I get up early. I'm ready to do the show first thing I get out of bed.
Sure. Too.
Like 7:15, quarter to late. It's Beth Ann. And I go, hey. And she goes, let me call you right back. I'm just walking into the building. So,
this girl is a woman now.
She really needs a life. I mean, I'm glad that she's throwing herself into the show. She's fantastic. But this morning, when I first chatted with her, and I don't mind, I get up early. I'm ready to do the show first thing I get out of bed.
Sure. Too.
Like 7:15, quarter to late. It's Beth Ann. And I go, hey. And she goes, let me call you right back. I'm just walking into the building. So,
wow.
I was calling her. Or she was. I was returning a call. Whatever
either way,
it was.
Clearly,
I said, "What are you? It's not even. What are you doing there? 8:00 in the morning." She says, "Oh, I love being here." So we can start the side betting pool on how fast this place will break her spirit.
Wow.
See how long?
What time was she here?
8:00.
That's not right.
8 a.m. this morning.
What time? You know what you have to tell her. You have to tell her. You have to.
Well, you
say,
can tell her. She's coming in the next break.
She works for you, though, really. I mean, she works with both of us. I mean, she'll do things for me if I need them, but I mean, really, you're the boss.
I told her not to come in so early. So,
all right, anyway, Beth Ann, come in here.
No, not yet. Wait for the next break.
Okay,
because
boss.
Well, see, hold on a second. The next, here's what I'm going to get to. I'm long-winded on this, but I have a point.
What?
The next break is going to be, because Beth Ann has a slot to fill every day on the show,
mm-hmm.
and today, today she didn't get this guy from American Idol to the last minute.
Right. So, oh, this is her friend?
Yes, her only friend.
Oh, her only, then we can discuss so her only friend, and then it'll move into that.
Yes, right. So it'll be one right into the other with our new producer, B.A. You get to meet her, find out why
she... to come in before 8:30.
Why she comes into the station at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is beyond me.
Yeah.
And why she only has one friend. And yeah. all she told me about this booking, this guest, is that... this is a friend that she's treated badly.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's her only friend. And I think
and even that is precarious?
Well, it's something like she's been blowing off her calls and that this friend has to call her mother or something.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
I don't know. It's a woman thing. We'll,
yeah, well, that'll open the book on her a little bit.
There you
yeah.
go. So we'll do that when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What up, my yellow brothers? Kinks in the house!
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two. Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays, okay? Surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone.
Hi, Denny.
Hi, Uncle Bill.
My nephew from Hong Kong, sir.
Hi, Kim. Good moves. You're number one.
Johnny, the Hong Kong champion. My neighbor, Denny Chen. Hey, couldn't you be in school?
The Don and Mike Show. Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You're goddamn right we are. Your phone calls, we'll work them in today. We'll get a phone scan in there today. Way too much. Come here, please. Beth Ann McBride. B.A., our new wonderful producer. She's actually quite competent. She's a really good person.
She is quite competent.
She is. I mean, I tell you, if she's a loser...
she's quite confident.
She's quite... well, now what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. It just made me laugh the way you say that. She's quite confident.
Well, she is. She appears to be.
Hi.
Hi, B.A.
How you doing?
We're doing great. So the deal was that when she got the job, besides doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff, she got to deliver a guest a day.
Yeah.
You know, because we got to have somebody. So Beth Ann was, oh, there you go. Buzz, your mic on?
Yeah, it is.
There you go. Thank you. I turned it off, but it's because I turned on hers.
Ah.
And no need for you to move.
Okay, so you can't see him? Okay.
I can see him. You're fine right there, Beth
Ann. You're fine. It's perfect.
So why do you come to the station so early?
Because I want to get... a jump start. I'm in a situation I'm not really used to, and one guest a day, though, sounds easy.
No, it doesn't.
It's not.
We know, very hard. We know how hard it is, and we know that we are appreciative for what you do.
But you could do that from home. You don't have to come to this gulag.
Yeah, but I don't want to make the long distance calls from here. I don't want to. Chances are, if I wanted to use the computer, my daughter would want to use it at the same time. So I'd rather just go to work.
Mm. Okay. Oh, have we mentioned she's a swinging single mother?
Single mom.
A swinging single mother.
Yeah.
No.
With a swinging single daughter.
How old's your daughter?
She's 18.
18.
18.
So you're...
18 and she likes it.
So you guys have that in common. You're both dealing with teenage, late teens kids.
Yeah. That's correct. And Beth Ann, besides getting here very, very early, and as I mentioned, one of the things was to just... you got to get someone every day. Someone topical, somebody that's interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the biggest names in the world. Big names are fine, but it's better to get the interesting people of the day.
Yeah, and because of that clause.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to be big names. And the interesting people.
Right.
I told Don yesterday, I've got an idea. There's a couple roadblocks. Sure, I'd like maybe somebody else for Tuesday. But I've got an idea, and I think you should go with this, and I just want you to hear me out.
Okay, go ahead. Tell everybody. Tell everybody what you told me.
I like this idea.
And I said, I only have one friend in the whole world. It's the truth. And her name is Julie. She's even referred to as my one friend, Julie.
Your one friend.
Only friend.
And she's interested.
Is there a reason for that, incidentally? Yeah.
And Julie can explain. And
she can explain why you only have one friend?
Yeah.
And you treat her like crap, right?
I'm not even a good friend to the one friend that I have. Because I don't have time.
And so we should ask all the questions that I would normally ask you as far as why you only have one friend and why you don't keep friends and why you treat friends badly. They should be directed at this friend, Julie.
Yeah.
Okay. A friend who's been treated badly, who's the only
friend. Who's still the only friend and has been mistreated.
Coming back for more. I've never understood. And she's a great person.
Here's a question you can answer, though. Have you had other friends that Julie might be aware of?
No.
No, you have not.
So sad.
And see, we don't even really have to call her today because she got the guy from American Idol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She got her guest, and it's a good guest, but I still thought it would be mighty interesting.
Well, I think it's,
find out what's going on.
It's interesting. It might be a little sad, too, actually.
No, she's fine. She's fine.
Oh, no, I mean, it might be sad what she has to say about you.
I don't think so.
What Mike was saying.
I don't think it's unusual in this business to have few good friends.
Hello.
Hello, is this Julie?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Julie.
This is Don and Mike. We're here with, is she your current friend, Beth Ann McBride?
Still my friend.
Still your friend?
She's still my friend. Always my friend.
Hmm. When's the last time she spoke to you? I mean, besides when she called you to be on the show to fill the hole today.
No, she called me.
She did not call me.
Oh, hold on. You didn't even, so this came to you? She called you?
I had to Google her.
You Googled her.
I had to Google her to find her.
Really?
So her mother didn't even know who she was going to work for.
So, hold on, you didn't tell your mother you're changing jobs? Beth Ann?
No. She knew I changed jobs in true McBride style.
Back Virginia.
All the details aren't important.
I see. So, does your mom know where you live?
She's been to it, but I think if you asked her what my address was, she wouldn't know.
Okay. But if we were to call your mom, would she know that you took a job at the station in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, she would. No, she would say Fairfax.
Yeah.
So she would know Fairfax.
Okay, so she would know that.
Our suburban location.
Uh-huh. So Julie, you've tried to get a hold of Beth Ann by calling her mother, right?
Well, first I tried by calling her number before she moved to Fairfax, and it was disconnected. So then I called her mother. And then 2 weeks later, her mother called and said, Beth Ann hasn't called you yet, has she?
Oh, my best.
So
Beth
Ann,
don't run away from the microphone.
So Beth Ann vacated the area she was in previously and just left no forwarding information whatsoever and really basically abandoned everyone.
Didn't tell her best friend.
So you still live down in, where was that, Raleigh or Durham? Where were you, Beth Ann?
In Greensboro.
Greensboro, North Carolina. And is that where you are, Julie?
No, I'm in Cincinnati now.
Oh, you're in Cincinnati?
Hi.
Beth Ann claims that, Julie, you are her only friend.
Why is that?
It's not an easy job.
Why doesn't Beth Ann have any friends besides you?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
There's no real answer for that question.
What's the personality flaw with Beth Ann?
What is her personality flaw?
Yes, her personality.
I don't know her.
Well, it would say, yeah. We don't know her well at all. She just started working.
That's why we're asking.
Yeah.
And not that there is a flaw, Beth Ann. I'm just wondering.
You know that she's just very dedicated to her work.
Oh, okay. So there's no room for friends. Well, we were discussing earlier that she gets in here ridiculously early.
They get 8 o'clock in the morning for a show that starts at 3 in the afternoon.
Wow. Okay.
So
surprise me.
So she's very career-oriented, and it gets in the way of her social life?
Yeah.
Now, it's just my observation, and we don't do the type of show we used to, but is there a chance that this could be fixed by a visit from Dr. Crotch? You know, I mean,
it's possible.
It's fine, you know. And I mean,
are you saying that, that if she got involved with somebody?
Yes, that perhaps the burden would be lifted. That
it's possible.
That perhaps she wouldn't feel the need to come into work at 8 o'clock in the morning.
If there was a certain someone.
There was a release available.
Exactly.
If someone could, you know, let some of the air out of the tires, so to speak. You know.
Go ahead, Beth Ann.
I don't think that'll make a difference. I really don't.
No, I don't think so.
But we're talking, there are two, I think, different categories here. You're talking about boyfriend stuff, and I'm talking about just in general having friends, and she only has one, and that the individual who we're talking to, Julie, is in Cincinnati, so there's really no maintenance required when your friend's a long-distance friend.
But we used to live in the same city.
Together.
Right.
How many years ago was that?
2.5, 3 years ago.
Okay.
When did you leave?
I lived 2 years ago.
When's the last time you saw Beth Ann? Now, not that that matters, because a lot of people have long-distance friends.
Right.
We saw each other last summer.
Last summer.
Will you be seeing each other this summer at all?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Don't have plans.
I think I'm getting a picture here. Is Beth Ann the kind of individual where if you really do want to plan anything, that you probably would have to make most of the phone calls and do most of the legwork?
I will be coming to Fairfax, Virginia, if I ever want to see her again.
Okay.
And is she your best friend?
Is she my best friend?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call her my best friend.
That's really sad.
I don't call Julie
but
my best
way
friend.
Up there.
Well, she's my only friend.
Okay, let me rephrase it then. Julie, is Beth Ann your only friend?
No.
She has tons of friends.
I have a full life.
You have a full life. What advice, Julie, since we're really getting absolutely nowhere with any of this, what advice would you have for Beth? Because we really, Rob, I'm not getting any answers here.
Right.
No, I know.
What advice would you have, Julie, for Beth Ann? To get her on track? She might be very happy with this situation.
Oh, yeah. She is very happy. I have friends there, and I suggested that I could give her their phone numbers just in case you wanted to make a new friend, and she said, no, that's okay.
Wow. The whole time that you've known her, has she wanted to make friends?
No, she's really not interested.
Does she hates people?
No, I don't hate people. I just think there's such a responsibility.
With what?
If I were your friend, I'd be your best friend.
Well, why don't you have some...
I'd be going up your house at 7 o'clock in the morning to begin our day together.
Why don't you have acquaintances? Do you have any acquaintances?
They're generally in the customer service realm, like at the 7-Eleven. John at the 7-Eleven.
God.
Now, Bethann, I do not have a lot of great friends, but I have lots of acquaintances, tons of acquaintances of people that are, you know, that I could socialize with, that I could get together with, but there's no responsibility there. I mean, there really isn't. That's the way I do it. You could do that the same way.
My lady afraid of commitment? Is my lady afraid of commitment?
I don't think it's that. I just think it takes a lot. You know, I'm taking this job real seriously.
Hey, this doesn't bother me, though. This doesn't bother me one little bit.
What doesn't?
If this is her thing, if this is her trip, if coming in here and working on this show is...
Oh, I agree. It's fantastic.
They're happy. Amen, brother.
I'm just concerned she's going to pull a Vermeil on us.
Mm-hmm.
Her head's going to explode.
Like in a year, she'll be like, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
It's got to be fine. I'll get better at it.
There's just got to be some release.
Julie, what the hell do we do with Beth Ann here? What do we do with her?
What do you mean, what do you do with her?
What the hell do we do with her? You're her only friend.
We want her to be happy. You're her only friend. Listen, do you know how pathetic this is?
She had
a spot to fill on the show today to get someone to interview. Now, as it turns out, she got somebody.
She did it because she came in here at 8 o'clock. She's dedicated.
She got somebody.
Doesn't have anything else to do.
But when she thought she didn't have anybody, she didn't even think to call you. She just said, oh, wait, hold on. This friend has called me.
This is my only friend.
We could go on the show with this person as my only friend.
And now the next...
Ann, do I know how pathetic this is?
Yeah. Do you?
Do I know how pathetic this is?
Yeah, she goes, you can't do better than me. Well, not for tomorrow, I can't.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that for you, Julie. I meant it's pathetic for Beth Ann.
What's the next time she doesn't get a guest? She can't go back to this well again.
No, out of friends.
The Julie That's interview right. has passed.
I played have that one card. Brother.
No, we're not. I don't think...
The trump card.
I don't think you'd be able to use your brother like you're using Julie.
I know.
I don't think so. This is a one-day thing.
All right, when you do relax, when you do have downtime, and obviously you've been very focused on making a great start with this company,
mm-hmm.
but what do you do? I mean, what do you do for fun? I mean, you must have...
In the evenings.
Very important. What?
I'm boring. I read. I love the movies. I go to the movies.
Right.
And,
Do you have a cocktail once in a while?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank what you. Do you enjoy drinking?
A Corona.
A Corona.
But usually alone, right?
Yeah, and I'm quite happy with that, Buzz.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, I drink alone as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Buzz drinks alone quite often. Mike drinks alone once in a while. Sure.
Yeah, that's the one rap I really don't have. I really don't.
No, you always do drink with a group of
acquaintances. Not a group, but I mean, I really don't drink by my... I don't think I can remember the last time I drank by myself.
Rob's exactly. the kick of drinking by himself.
Well, I taught you how to do it.
I mean, Rob really is the
right.
is the absolute worst.
You fit right in.
Listen, of all of us, Mike is the most social animal. Mike's the one who goes out and meets the most people and knows the most people. I'm probably the most hermit-like, but at least I got more than one friend. Jesus.
But that's okay. If I can only have one friend, she is the best friend to have.
What's the biggest secret we should know about Beth Ann, Julie? What would she not want us to know?
Something good.
Do I have to answer that, Beth Ann?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I would. If they had asked me, I would have answered it.
All right. Well, I'll ask you. What's the one thing about Julie we shouldn't know?
About Julie?
Yeah.
Well, she's perfect. There's
she's perfect.
All right. There really isn't.
All right, go ahead. We'll just pile on you then. First, Julie, what's the one thing we should know about Beth Ann?
Oh, Beth Ann, I can't say it.
What?
Oh, come on, say it.
Give her a hint.
Say it. What is it?
That's what we're looking for to make this interview sing.
Come on.
Is it about my feet?
No, that would that's actually not really a secret.
Okay, then what is then what?
Well,
is
what is about? Well, hold on a second. Yeah. Stop right there. What about
what
her
do you
feet?
Do when you get nervous?
What about her feet?
No, they just smell terrible.
Oh, you have bad smelling feet.
Oh, you have bad feet.
Yeah, no. I do have smelly feet.
Now well, somebody to
and
balance
if
me.
And I get really, really nervous. Something happens. Death.
You know, as I am wearing loafers without socks today, I just that's an interesting subject that you.
That is a queer look, Beth Ann. Now listen. Uninfluenced by anything I would say or Mike would say. What do you think about Mike's look? Hard dress shoes with no socks.
It's
and
Mike.
Shorts.
And shorts.
Mike, it's cute.
Thank you.
At least he has a shirt on today.
And not even one, not even the slightest.
Don't smell yourself.
Brand new, off the store floor. I've had these shoes for months.
Congratulations.
But seriously, not even one bit.
That's true.
A foot over.
See, I mean, all we can get from you is that she has stinky feet, Julie.
Well, no.
Anything else?
There's more.
Come on, hurry.
There is more.
Right, okay, we're running out of time here.
Tell us.
Okay.
Heard it again, Mike. Heard it again. Beth Ann, you'll have to clean that up.
God damn it.
I'll do it now.
God, don't clean it up now.
No.
Beth Ann, I'm really sorry.
No.
I just, if those little crescent-shaped ice cubes,
well, he threw
I don't require that much ice in the cup. I really don't.
Here's
it's not your fault. I'm sorry I did that.
Whose fault
I didn't
is
want,
it?
I didn't want, you saw the real me. He knows that.
Really?
That's why he's so delighted right now. Because that was the real me when I threw that down.
Like a little tantrum.
I'm sorry. That was
mad.
I just threw my cup because of that of the ice dam breaking.
Just believe it.
So second time on the show.
Julie, what is the thing? What is the one thing we should know about Beth Ann?
Come
Five
on.
Seconds. Answer,
they know it, Beth Ann?
I don't know. No.
Come on. Say it, Julie. What is it?
How about when she gets very nervous?
What?
I already said that.
What, that her feet stink?
No. I don't know if I can say that on the...
Well, what? Say it.
I mean, I can say it.
She
say
gets
it.
Indigestion, if I overheard
it's
correctly.
It's a little gassy.
What, she farts?
Oh, you get gas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She farts a lot.
When you get nervous?
Control it.
When you...
Yeah.
Uncontrollable.
Oh, uncontrollable gas.
Uncontrollable gas.
And Julie, that's a gem.
That's good.
You've given us a lovely gift.
Power,
you've given us a lovely gift.
I just lost my status as her only friend.
No, you are my only friend.
No, of course. Why wouldn't you be your only friend? You're great. You just told us she has smelly feet.
No, but that's...
And
the,
uncontrollable gas.
That's the winner. That's the gem.
Only when she's nervous.
Uncontrollable, though, you know?
Are you nervous?
You're under a lot of pressure now, Beth.
Is it uncontrollable? This morning when you were getting the American Idol guy, was it under control?
Yeah.
It was under control?
Yeah, I've had it more in control as my time here.
Throw another cup. See, she's gotten settled in now. She knows she's got the gig. So.
Hard to rattle her now.
Yeah, well, we'll figure out a way.
Sure.
All right, we'll get you nervous.
Just so we can get that uncontrollable gas. That'll be fun.
And I don't know about you, but me, I'd say kick off your shoes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not you, but her.
Yeah, get it all out of the way.
Yeah, come on, just get everything. All right, Julie.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Listen, you've just been on the show to fill this segment for Beth Ann, because you couldn't find anybody else. How long do you think she'll last with this show?
It depends.
Do you think?
Well,
let me just tell you that the polite answer would have
not
been...
Not a real committing kind of individual for this interview, you
the
know.
The polite answer probably would have been, as long as you want her.
Forever. I think it's up...
We'll be there as long as you want her.
I think it's
up... Maybe there longer than you want her.
Oh, longer than
we want her. Okay. Aye.
Very good.
Wonderful to have around.
All right.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you can do better.
Yeah, you need better friends. You really need better friends. We're both going to say the same thing.
She sucks.
She sucks.
Yeah.
We'll get you a new one.
He does.
She's the worst friend. Sucky friend.
She does all the work. She's great.
She sucks.
Why is she so perfect? Is she married?
Yeah.
She got a like perfect husband, perfect family?
He's a doctor.
Oh, really? Married to a doctor?
Yeah.
So what happened to Mr. McBride?
And it was never married.
Oh.
Good for you, Tramp.
Look at that.
Good for you. So you've never been married?
No.
Oh, outstanding.
Can you raise this daughter all by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Ever seen the movie Norma Rae? Right on, sister.
Thank you.
Right on.
Good for you.
All right, so that's Beth Ann. That's her friend Julie. She has uncontrollable gas when she's nervous and her feet smell.
Yeah. I like Beth Ann a lot better than her friend Julie.
Me too.
Yeah.
And Julie's
that's
a loser.
The way it is.
Julie's a loser.
You didn't think it would go that way, but that's the way it went.
We might have. You can leave Beth Ann.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for coming in.
You keep talking about your friend, you might get uncontrollable gas.
I think we'll call her back. Are you a mindset like me? She's not good enough to be Beth Ann's friend?
Yeah, we think
Beth Ann. I think we should break up.
Yeah.
On behalf of Beth Ann.
Cut her loose. Right. Get somebody new.
Hey, Julie, it's Don and Mike again. We're on the air again.
Okay.
Beth Ann's not in the room now.
Right. She left.
Okay. Here's the thing.
We're going to give it to you straight. You have a lot of friends, right? And Beth Ann says you're perfect?
I'm far from perfect.
Okay, well, I mean, she says you are.
Yeah.
And you're married, like, to a doctor?
Yeah.
Right. You're not her friend anymore. You're not allowed to be her friend
anymore.
We're
breaking up.
We're going to let you go.
We're breaking up.
We think that Beth Ann needs better friends.
She's got to move on.
You would be a good second, third, fourth tier friend. There's no way that you should be the go-to friend.
But not the only friend anymore, and we're going to do our level best to find somebody that's going to move into the number one slot. Yeah. I hope you can handle that.
I'll do my best.
You'll still be an acquaintance.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Consider this a BA. Beth Ann's officially breaking up with you.
She's breaking up with you as her number one friend.
Okay.
You're going to... Now, do you want to bring her down into acquaintance status, or...
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, you're going to have to even work your way up to even be a friend. You've been busted down to acquaintance
and
status.
And you're just a step away from stranger.
Stranger, yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, the final step, dead to her.
Yeah, and so... She's going to be looking for another only friend, and you're going
to...
No, we're doing it.
Oh,
no,
we're not going to like it.
Incidentally, you're two steps away from being Ronald Reagan to her. Think about that. They could be taking you with a horse carriage through downtown D.C.
Yeah, but we're going to let you know, and you know what? It'll be your job to find out, because she's probably not going... Well, she didn't anyway, did she?
She won't call you.
All right, but we'll let you know, and we appreciate you coming on the show, though.
We think you're real nice. It's just you're not a real good friend.
Can we ask one question that we didn't ask during the interview, Julie?
Yes.
The celebrity you most resemble?
I don't know.
Oh, please, come on, thank
please
God.
Please, just give us a little nugget.
This is why you're being let go.
Friend here.
What?
What celebrity do I most resemble?
She's got a friend there, see?
Of course she's got a friend.
Plenty of friends.
Sure. Lousy one.
And Julie, you're out of the will.
I have a really nice friend, so that wasn't a good answer. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, all right, okay, that's it.
Let's just forget it. You know, not only is BA not your friend, we're not your friend anymore either. And you know what? We were never your friend, honey.
Yeah.
You were just some way for us to fill a break on this show.
It's so sad.
I'm sorry that it turned this ugly.
You meant nothing to us.
It was horrible.
You never meant anything to us.
You never cared about us.
Common caller.
Common
Cincinnati caller.
Yes, okay.
All right. Touche. We called you.
Have a nice day, Julie.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye, Ben.
There you go.
I thought that went well.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Possibly crooked. The Don and Mike Show.
And now...
Commodores.
Yeah, right on.
Machine gun.
Uh-huh.
Listen, there's a guy here in D.C., a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor. I said doctor.
Someone called for a doctor?
Anyway, we can't get this guy on the show, but he's written a book called Put Bush on the Couch.
Okay.
And what he's done is he's analyzed George Bush's life. He's got all of the research, all of the books that have been written about W.
Analyzed his entire life.
And he has a bunch of... Now, there's some things the guy alleges that I've never heard.
Okay.
And you tell me what you've heard. I'll tell you some of the things that he mentions in this book and some of the things that some of his analysis. Mm-hmm. And you tell me what you think.
Right.
For instance, his inability to grieve. Have you noticed this? That George, first, have you even noticed that W has an inability to grieve?
I don't know whether I've noticed that. He does not appear to be an overly emotional individual.
That's exactly how I would categorize him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that it's at age 7, when his sister died, the family's reaction, the Bush family's reaction, no funeral and no mourning, set in motion his lifelong pattern of turning away from pain and hiding.
Okay.
So
that's a little odd.
That's weird.
Definitely weird.
That they would have a daughter and, like, you don't have the funeral, you don't have any mourning, just like, you know.
Well, I mean, at that age, it was a young child that you would think that maybe they were protecting and they weren't, you know, I mean, if he was 7 years old,
he'd be old
a lot of
times.
Well, he'd be old enough to know, but you might not involve him in the funeral process.
But maybe you wouldn't, but hold on, it says that there was no funeral.
There's no funeral at all.
Yeah, right. Not that they just kept it from him.
Well, then maybe he gets it from the family.
They made a decision in the family that there wasn't going to be a funeral for this kid.
That's what the doctor's saying.
Her mom had trouble connecting emotionally.
His mom?
Yeah. Mamo.
Okay.
Had trouble connecting emotionally with him, which is why he overreacts and is still trying to please his mama.
I think that's very understandable.
His daddy's absence during his youth triggered feelings of both adoration and revenge in George W.
I think that's probably normal.
So on one hand, he loves him,
mm-hmm.
wants to please him. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, hates him, wants to smack him around.
You know, I have a memory of being around when I was a kid, and it's tough. It's tough when dad's away, and if his dad was doing all that political stuff, yeah.
He's a couple of great ones. He has a lifelong streak of being a sadist.
Yeah, okay.
Childhood pranks, using firecrackers to explode frogs.
Right.
Insulting journalists while he was governor of Texas, gloating over executions.
He does have a
he does love
that.
Those. Uh-huh. And during the bombing of Baghdad,
right.
doing that thing like the NFL players do on the sideline, they pump their fist over and over.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Huh.
Also, his years of drinking, according to his doctor,
right,
have affected his brain function and his decision.
I can relate to that.
His decision to quit drinking without going like to a 12-step program
mm-hmm.
Has him at a far higher risk of relapse. Yeah. And this guy thinks that as the election gets closer, that Bush is going to fall off the wagon.
Really?
And start drinking very heavily.
Oh, now that's an interesting one.
So anyway,
would that make for a fun presidential debate, though?
I want to get this doctor on the show. For God's
sake, I think you're silly and stupid, and I want to blow you up like I blew up those frogs.
And yes, George, your sister is dead.
Yes,
forget about that. That never happened.
We will not grieve.
We will not mention that.
But I will try to please my mama, and I will also try to adore. Yet seek revenge upon my dadu. That is the way I will do it. And I have a sadistic streak from when I blew up frogs, insulted journalists, and pumped my fist up in the air during the bombing of Iraq. Yes, sir.
What about your mom? The emotional absence.
I'm still trying to please her.
Yeah, your mama.
I will please
mama.
Her greatly. I really will.
And you had problems connecting emotionally with Mamo?
I have no emotions to show you. That's the way I am, son.
That's too great.
That is pretty interesting. And you know, they're not all totally out of line.
No, but the stuff like about the kid dying and stuff, who knows? I didn't know anything about
that. The details of that, but obviously this guy did a little research. Right?
I'm guessing the guy did. I'm sure you know that J-Lo got married. We had mentioned this yesterday, and everybody says BFD.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? You might want to know that she's got a deal with the Star tabloid, though. This was the deal that she worked out with them. They wrote something about her that was not true. Some allegations, you know, who knows what it is with her. It could be anything.
Right.
But this is the deal that she made. You know how celebrities sue the Inquirer and stuff and they get their way?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she sued them, and the deal was anything that they write about her, they have to run past her now.
Oh, my God.
That's the arrangement?
Yes. Yeah, so Jennifer Lopez, now the Star, which is the second most popular one next to the Inquirer, right?
Right.
And as a matter of fact, it's right next to, you're holding a People magazine. I think it's right next to People magazine every
Well,
day.
I'm reading about Mark Anthony. Now, Mark Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong, a huge Latin star,
that's
correct?
Mark Anthony. Yes. And you're right.
Millions, billions of dollars, right? I mean, millions of dollars.
Correct.
$3,500 a month in alimony. Now, that is a lot of money. I give you that. But that, you know, when I was reading about Jack Kent Cook's alimony, and that just seems to be a, you know, just somewhat of a paltry sum that he's paying in alimony. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I just thought that was an interesting fact,
yeah,
that he's this big star and he just dumps his wife and he's paying that amount. It just seemed rather low to me. I don't know why. It just seemed a little unusually low. Just unusually low.
Huh. You know, I'm not really...
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not sure I'm getting your point here.
I'm just saying that seemed like it was unusually low.
$3,500 a month?
Yeah, seemed a little bit
unusually
low.
Low.
I would think for a star of that magnitude, you know, just think so. I guess when you do it in the Dominican Republic, that's the way that goes.
Maybe so. Know? Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah, you get... The payments stop now. I get your joke. Yeah. You're a hip cat.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Just an observation. That's all it is.
Good one.
Well, right now she's driving around saying, "Boy, I'm glad I married Michael Maron." Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony.
Isn't that, what is it?
It's Anthony. It's Mark.
Is it Anthony?
Yes, it's Mark Anthony.
And it's Iglesias.
Yes, Julio Iglesias.
And it's Mark Anthony.
And Mark Anthony. But I still
have so much respect for you that I would occasionally call him Mark Anthony.
I love calling him Julio Iglesias.
That I hate. That I know.
And also Mark Anthony.
Iglesias, I thought was wrong.
Over the top.
Here is news for Basement of the Science Building people.
Yes?
George Lucas is in talks. Now settle down. Calm down, everybody. To make a Star Wars TV show. I agree. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
Please.
That would focus on Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Princess Leia, where Return of the Jedi left off.
Oh, God.
So Star Wars...
Enough. It ain't that great.
Give it up.
Well... He needs the money.
But it's, you know,
George Lucas needs the money.
Talk about it. You know, really, I know he's made these characters all the, you know, but come on.
These characters.
God.
These characters are our life, Mike. And I say bring him back on.
Jesus. You know what? You know who
was the last time we had a movie that was really, really, like, amazing? Like, everybody went nuts about?
Think about it. I'm not talking, oh, Shrek 2, everybody went to see it, which is what we have now,
right.
A sequel to a cartoon. Mm-hmm.
How about, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
Now, for me,
that was
the movie that changed my life.
What was the last movie that you guys can remember that really, that the entire country kind of went nuts over?
Okay, I got it, really. Legally Blonde.
This is great. You're absolutely right.
Present company excluded, I think Titanic.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, and before that was probably a long time.
You Star Wars.
And even that was a remake.
What?
Titanic.
Right.
Was,
right.
Hey,
even that wasn't an original idea.
Here is Tracy with an I. Tracy.
Yes.
Hello, darling.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to call just to clarify the Mark Anthony child support.
Yeah.
He is paying that per child, not all together.
No, he's paying $3,500 a month in alimony. He is paying $6,500 a month per child.
Per child,
and he has two children.
Right.
From two different mamas, right?
Does he?
I think he has the one from the hoochie mama he was married to, and another one from another hoochie mama.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Well, he has two from Miss Universe.
Oh, he has two
problems.
Just one.
They had one when they got back together.
Okay. It wouldn't be the first time.
How long were they married? How long was he married to Miss Universe? I'm curious about that.
It was about almost 3 years.
3 years.
And then they were estranged for about a year.
Okay.
So what do you think that that's, Mike, would you like to answer the question? Wait, the amount of money, that okay with you?
Yeah, it depends on what she's doing. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it's all about. Depends on what she's up to. I think I'd rather not talk about it anymore.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
I am the one that brought it up.
And threw the magazine down.
I realized suddenly I shouldn't bring it up.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Shouldn't be talking about it.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Rob did a, you know, I got to give Rob some credit sometimes.
Sure.
Because Rob really dabbles in impressions occasionally. And Rob, yeah, I know it's old news and it's past tense, but Rob does an incredible Fantasia. Have you heard Rob's Fantasia?
Fantasia Barino?
Ladies and gentlemen, as Fantasia Barino, it's a very brief impression.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Rob's
speed. Rob's speed bump. Well, you can do it for Matt Rogers.
like she's here.
You can do it for the guy. Hello.
I was in here unhinging my jaw during the break. Joe D.
Yeah.
Hello, Joe D.
Hello. I just,
Hey, Jody. Jody, have you heard Rob's impression of Fantasia Barrino?
Yes, it was fantastic.
You're a little pitchy.
Oh,
Jody, what do you want?
Not your best performance.
Okay.
What I wanted to say was, what about the Harry Potter movies? I mean, people are standing out in front of theaters for months, literally.
Do you really think that that's the kind? I mean, yeah, the franchise of Lord of the Rings, the franchise of Harry Potter.
You could say the same thing about Spider-Man. This is now the way that our society is. That there's every 3 months there's the movie of the century that comes out. You know, and Harry Potter is big, and Lord of the Rings is big, but
not really anything that where it just there just hasn't been the kind of movie that everybody, old, young, whatever. Harry Potter has the legions of fans.
Hold on. Right. Caddyshack 2. I'm sorry. I just got a great brain. I keep thinking of all the movies.
Do you really put a movie like Harry Potter in the same category with a movie like The Godfather?
Oh, Mike, she's a woman. You're asking the
wrong
question.
Absolutely not. Because
wrong question to ask a woman.
She's agreeing with me. Right? Yeah, absolutely not.
I'm going to need to check now because I am from Sacramento. I don't want to get put on the list. Bye.
And then good talking to you. Failed. Good communicating with you. Good having a nice give and take. Duh.
Settle down, Tiger.
Sorry.
Settle down, Tiger.
Ain't the gumna. Harry Potter.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, you guys are forgetting Kangaroo Jack. That really changed the world.
Thank you, my friend.
Now that's a point.
An original there you idea. Go.
Finally, somebody with a great movie. I didn't know where they were.
Mm-hmm. Christy with an I, another girl with an I in her name. Christy.
That Fantasia impression sounds an awful lot like Edith Bunker from All in the Family.
No, it doesn't, because Mike does Edith Bunker. Mike?
Hello, Archie. Oh, Archie.
Right, hold on. Both of you guys at the same time now. Rob, you do your Edith, and Mike do Edith, and Rob do Fantasia. Ready? Go.
Summertime!
See the difference?
It's a higher register.
Right? Obviously, I stand corrected.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And why does she call it All in the Family?
And now will you send us $3,600 a month in support for this phone call?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that's
$3,500.
$3,500.
Per DJ.
Per DJ.
That's right. That's great. That's reasonable.
That's good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it.
Where's the Michael Hoffman tape?
Oh.
Because we have a story.
Yeah.
That I think. Thank you for loading that in, Rob. Thank you.
This is Michael Hoffman,
yeah.
And you're listening to Jew to Jew.
All right. Now, I know that we're not on in New York City.
Of course, we're not. We'd like to be, but we are not currently.
I do want to tell you that nothing is safe for Orthodox Jews.
Why?
In New York City, the Jews now are very upset.
Why would that be?
Because the city's tap water is not kosher.
The tap water is not kosher. I don't understand. How could it not be?
You see,
water is water.
Mike,
I'm sorry.
The tap water contains crustaceans that are less than 1 millimeter long. They pose no threat to common human health. However, the laws of keeping kosher require no shellfish like shrimp, crab, lobster, and these copepods. Copepods.
Copepods.
C-O-P-E-P-O-D-S. Copepods.
Copepods.
These are the things. These are the crustaceans.
They're put in the water and they count as little shrimpy.
Yes, the crustaceans in the water.
Well, how do you filter them out? Can't you get one of those?
Here's the deal. Here's where you take lemons and make lemonade.
All right, how do you do this?
Guess what the biggest growth business in New York City's been since the first of the year.
Well, please share it with me.
Water filters.
Water filters. And then
water filters.
So as soon as you filter the crustaceans, you keep it kosher.
It's kosher.
Well, then it's not the big whoop.
Well, it is.
What's the big whoop that everybody's talking about?
No, the big whoop is that it's not kosher and that you have to go out and listen, what do we got to do to start the water filtration business?
Well, I think that...
What do we got to do to get in on this?
Because really, water's virtually free.
Yeah. Water... It's not.
I mean, unless you're getting city water and then you're paying for it, which of course I think is a ripoff.
On a rainy day, it's totally free.
Well, if you put a bucket outside.
As I do.
Do they have crustaceans in the water that falls from the sky, the rainwater?
I don't think so.
And then you can run that through a filter too, so it's not dirty.
Good.
I think that's wonderful.
I can't have this water.
This is this water. It's filled.
I can't have this water. It's not kosher.
Little baby shrimps.
Right. It's not kosher.
I'm not going to have it. Well, the water filter business is full speed ahead.
Hello. Hold on.
Marvelous.
Hold on. The rabbi from Baltimore is on the phone to help us with this topic. Rabbi.
Hello, Rabbi.
Shalom, gentlemen.
Shalom.
Now listen.
Hi, Goy.
Goy.
I love Rob. You guys know that.
Listen, Rabbi from Baltimore.
Yes.
If you had crustaceans in the water, as they do in New York City, is it officially not kosher?
Well, technically, yes. Though the thing is, I don't know if it's as big a deal as people are making out of it.
Oh, I think it's a very
big
deal. However,
if they were lobsters in the water, we could harvest them and sell them.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
That guy is a real rabbi.
He really is.
This guy is not. Brian. Brian?
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you today?
We are doing fine.
We're talking about kosher water.
Indeed. A very kosher water. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
You should just know that this is only for the Hasidic Jews. As for the mainstream Orthodox, they have not adopted this new technique of filtering your water.
So the Hasid will actually need the ones
with the curly sidewalks.
So you're telling me that it's a limited growth market, that I'm not looking for all of the Jewish market. I'm looking for the small percentage that wears the hats and the hair.
Indeed. And if you cooked it to make bagels and the sort and lox, you can obviously eat the water like that because it's getting filtered out in that process.
All right, so the crustaceans would be killed, so it would be kosher.
Indeed, and therefore bagels would be, of course, a staple of the kosher diet would be permitted in any circle.
Yeah, okay, bagels.
No problem.
Thank you.
Bagels. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bagels.
Bagels and lox.
Bagels. Mm-hmm. Bagels and lox.
That's right.
Oh, the water's not kosher.
Let's not forget Chinese food on Sundays.
And Christmas.
Hello, John and Mike.
But no shrimp.
Hello.
No shrimp.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd love some General Chance chicken. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. Enjoy. How about a little chicken fried rice?
Hello. Josh, John and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, you guys have gotten off the point now. Saving Private Ryan was a big movie.
No. Saving Private Ryan, agreed, was a big movie. It was not a movie that changed people's... I'll give you another one. That before Star Wars, Jaws was another movie.
Right. Jaws was the black...
Attracted everybody. When Jaws came out, I mean, everybody went to... You can't say that about Saving Ryan's Privates.
You know what about Saving Ryan's Privates?
What?
That was, I think, the first movie to usher in the over-the-top hype machine.
Yep,
because that was the one that really they had the grief counselors and all that stuff that was all in place.
Absolutely.
They were ready for that to be a blockbuster that it never really
It never became the blockbuster they wanted.
Although, do you remember back in the day when you were a kid?
You know what was pretty close?
Mm-hmm.
Gladiator would be pretty close.
Yeah.
Gladiator was
but not the same time. But Gladiator was more...
Still not as big as some of the blockbusters.
More word of mouth of people saying this is a really great movie.
Exactly.
But do you remember back in the day when you'd be going to a matinee and they would show an ad for a movie saying... And the ad was something like the ride restriction at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a heart condition, if you are a pregnant woman, you will not be allowed in the theater. These theater doors will be locked once the showing has begun.
Nurses will be standing by. And with The Exorcist, didn't they have air sick bags that they put in the theater?
Right. Yes, they did.
Absolutely.
Yes, they did.
People passed out at my grandfather's theater when he showed Frankenstein in 1930. Literally passed out.
Passed out because they were so scared.
Yeah,
I was
never seen anything
very
like
cool.
Them.
Hello, Meg. Buzz was the projectionist.
Hi there, Meg.
The Exorcist has changed everybody's lives so much that my mother wouldn't even come check on us when we were asleep.
Well, The Exorcist is a movie that flipped everybody out, but it's not a movie that everybody was able to see.
I think that The Exorcist, I was young back in the day when that movie came out, but wasn't The Exorcist... in that league?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't it just big enough where everybody saw it?
I put it right below Jaws.
Below Jaws would be a perfect place for it.
You know, and God, what's another one? I wasn't old enough to see it when Last Tango in Paris came out.
Ugh.
And I know it's an awful movie, but it was like everybody wanted to go see that movie. Everybody wanted to.
I think The Exorcist also got real big play in the D.C. area because it was
The steps. There. Hello, Kelly.
Yes.
Guy Kelly.
Hey, I was calling about The Passion of the Christ was a pretty big flick.
I got a lot of controversy going, got a lot of people going in.
Yeah, but not, but
I didn't, yeah, I guess.
And I, you know, you almost sound sacrilegious saying this, but Jesus didn't have legs. Jesus didn't have showbiz legs like Jaws did.
I mean,
like
that was
Star Wars did.
That was so hot for so long. But I mean, I'm talking about a movie that would really last for months.
I mean,
and months.
Jesus, I just want to say something. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. He had one great movie. I believe Jesus is box office poison.
Box office poison.
Okay. One more call.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm ready for one. I'm ready for one that everybody wants to go see.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Howdy. You're on the air.
How about Forrest Gump?
How about you stick your head?
Well, you know, Dom, we do fall into the only two people in America that didn't like Forrest Gump.
Listen, I don't care if we're the only two that really get it, but still, that movie changed nobody's lives. Even though it was a great movie, that's not a movie that people stopped, like about Jaws and Star Wars, even Titanic.
Got all those awards.
It just seems to me.
It got all those awards. Listen, I got news for you. Friends got a lot of awards, too. You know what I mean? The TV show?
Gump was another hype movie that
Touché.
They started talking about 3 months before it came out.
Yeah.
And how great it was going to be.
Hey, dude.
It was okay.
Will and Grace gets a lot of awards, too.
I'm not saying that I personally really loved the movie, but, you know, you're talking about a movie that a lot of people talked about and a lot of people went to go see.
Yes. For a brief period of time. It's not a movie like Jaws where people were talking about it for a year.
I think movies that the kind of movies I'm talking about are the kind of movies that literally change the genre, that change...
I got one for you then. The Matrix.
The Matrix is
Now, hold on. Not hype like Jaws, but...
But Matrix is another one of those franchises like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings.
Think about when the first time you saw The Matrix and you've never seen...
You walked out?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you the first time I saw it, then, because it's a better story than
I walked out. I mean, I gave it about a half.
Special effects that I had never seen before.
Yeah, you're saying change technically the way they make movies, they did. Yeah, that did. But I'm talking about...
You walked out of The Matrix?
Yeah, I hated The Matrix.
The first one?
Yeah.
You know what else is something that doesn't exist anymore?
I loved the first one.
It gave me a headache.
I could even tolerate the second one, I watched the third one.
But The Matrix, as far as like Blockbuster, not the same kind of...
No,
I'm going back, really. I mean, you go to Titanic, yes, that's the one.
And Matrix 2 was not a huge blockbuster. Matrix 3 was a disappointment. I'm just thinking Matrix 2 is a movie that for a long time people stopped and said, whoa. We've never seen anything like that before.
Sound like Keanu there.
Whoa.
You know what you don't see anymore is movies that would get re-released like 3 years later, and that used to happen with bigger movies in
the
70s,
right,
too.
Like The Godfather 2, they did that with.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles, they did that, like two re-releases.
Comedy, that was a huge
one.
And, you know, in comedies, really. I mean, we haven't had a great, great, great comedy since Something About Mary.
Hold on a second. Haven't you seen Hollywood Homicide? Yeah! I got news for you. It's on every hour on Stars. Here's the deal.
Would you put Old School in the same league as Something About Mary?
No.
Good. Okay.
Slightly below.
Good.
Slightly below it. Funny, but nothing like Something About Mary.
Because, I mean, I'm cloudy when it comes to Old School because of my feelings about Mr. Farrell.
Stars.
I think Anchorman is going to suck, too.
I'll bet you anything it doesn't. Oh, and you know what else? Do you remember when you said that, what's his name? Dwayne Johnson was going to be the next breakout star?
Yeah, I was wrong about that. But I won my bet about, you're willing to concede Troy?
Yeah, Troy was not a blockbuster.
Okay,
yes,
so I was right about Troy.
What was the movie you were just talking about, though?
Anchorman.
I think it'll be a smash.
I think Anchorman's going to suck.
You know what I think is going to suck? Is Dodgeball.
I think
Dodgeball. Dodgeball, he's doing the same thing he did with the male model.
Yes, it's Zoolander-ish. Yeah, yes. Very Zoolander-ish. Although,
have you seen the trailer for Dodgeball?
You can't go wrong with Vince Vaughn, though.
The trailer of Dodgeball is just a guy for a minute getting a ball thrown at him. And it will kill you. It's
really?
So funny, yeah.
We got a break. We'll just get one or two more calls. People, these are, oh my God, this is like almost turned into a dumb regular radio show.
Yeah.
Oh, no, forget it. We can't take these calls. I don't care. I'll just tell you the movies. Rocky, Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Goonies.
Jurassic Park counts.
Toy Colors.
The original
Toy Story.
The
colors.
Original Jurassic Park that definitely counts.
Raiders of the Lost Ark
counts.
And I'd say Rocky. I'd say when you went to see Rocky, who didn't leave Rocky the first time and go, Jesus Christ?
That was big.
Amen.
Yeah, I said Jesus Christ when I left Rocky.
I know you did.
I mean, everybody saw Rocky. I said, Jesus Christ, what an idiot. Mick!
I loved it.
Mick! That's what I said when I left.
Jesus Christ. Okay, hold on. Everybody with all your calls?
Yes.
Go to hell. We got a break. It's not a polite
way. Meant that in the nicest
there's
possible
not a polite,
way.
There's not a polite
bye-bye.
Just get bent. When we come back, we have much more important things to talk about than your dumb movies that you want to talk about. Let me see. Matt Rogers, the dumb American Idol guy. Now, that's a dumb topic that we really can sink our dumb teeth.
Hallelujah.
They've got the American Idol tour with the top 10, not the top 12.
Ouch.
And the big goofy country singer is asking you, Joe Public, to help him get on this American Idol tour.
We're going
to
jump on that pony.
So we'll have him in just one moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Seacrest, out of the... Seacrest! Out! Seacrest, out! Seacrest, out! See you guys, Seacrest, out! Seacrest! Out. Seacrest out. Seacrest out. Seacrest out.
Okay.
Seacrest out.
Okay. Okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Dumb. The Seacrest, everybody.
Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Won't you please?
Yeah.
Won't you please?
La la la. La la la.
I love being on the radio. I love it more than anything. I really do love being on the radio. I love this song. And I've mentioned this before with other songs. I love a song like this, a faggy song like this, Na Na Hey Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye. I love the thought that after 32 years in radio, I can get on my treadmill in the morning and I've got this on the iPod and think, later today, I'm going to play that song.
On the radio.
On the radio.
Very good.
God damn.
Well, that's a good thing.
I like that.
It's a great song.
It's the best.
Nice.
I'm telling you, it's the best intro in the world. You can't
do it. The Don and Mike Show.
It's fantastic.
WKFK.
I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I mean, you got plenty of time. You can talk. You do the weather. You give the phone number. You say your feet stink.
Yeah.
Say you get uncontrollable gas when you're nervous. You only got one friend.
Goodbye.
Dedicate this to BA on KHJ. I love being on the radio. I love it. I love it.
Fun.
I've always loved it. I just love it. Why are there so many asses in this business? I love it. I love
there
it.
There have been since I've been in the business.
Yeah. I know. And there were before we got into the business.
I mean, it is loaded. And I think it's show business. I think it's every element of show business is loaded with people like this.
If it was a Campbell soup, radio would be a creamy chunk of ass.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many jerks.
And when you get them all together, that's why I hated those conventions. I hated those conventions, but I love those conventions
mm-hmm.
where you get everybody under the same roof and everybody's like walking around going, hey.
Now, but you know,
look at me. Ooh, I'm cool.
At least for a percentage of those guys, there's got to be some of those guys that remember like I do. There's nothing better. I mean, I love doing the show with you guys and what we do now, but I remember back so fondly when I first got into radio, the intimacy that you're there alone in a room.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've done that. Mm-hmm.
Nobody else with you.
Right.
It's just you and the microphone, and you're talking. And I'm sounding.
When you do it, I don't know if you're like me, but when you do it for the very, very first time, it's about the scariest thing in the whole wide world.
Yes, it is.
Now, unless you practice your whole life and you've BS'd your way. My first time, I was ready. Do you know I was sitting in the air chair, and they said, "What's the first record?"
Mm-hmm.
And I looked through whatever the current records were, and I said, "Once You Get Started" by Rufus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Why?" I said, because I've been, seriously, I've been 14, 13. I've been waiting my whole life to do this. I'm a 13-year-old. Somebody should have just smacked me. I put the record on and it was like, WGEZ, yeah, here I am, baby. Do it. Love it.
From
the
beginning. I was actually ran God Squad the very first time, and I was going to get my 1 hour after God Squad after I got done playing the religious tapes in the morning was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my first time was on a college radio station in Connecticut when I was 14 years old, and that was a pucker factor, you know, a little bit of a pucker factor. But then as soon as you open your mouth, it's like, hey.
It's the greatest.
Yeah.
It's still the greatest. There's just so many.
And I pretended I had a lower voice.
So many jerk faces. There's a lot of that. Thank God I didn't. I always used my real voice.
Well, that's
I'm
a,
kidding,
one
of
could
course.
Make an argument about
I am
that.
Kidding, of course.
803.
I am kidding.
Need of course.
Answer. Here you go. Matt Rogers. Here's the deal with this guy. American Idol they've got the final 12, and they put them on a CD, and they're going to put them out on this concert tour. Now, American Idol says only the top 10 are going. And
now, in years past, have they had the top 12?
I could not tell you.
Okay, we'll have to ask him.
All I know is that this year, number 11 is the big dorky country guy, Matt Rogers. And he's starting a grassroots campaign to try to get people to sign his internet petition. And really, he needs some help. We just did a check here. He's got 2,400 signatures.
Well, let's get a little pub, see if we can help him out or not.
That ain't going to help.
Well, will it make a difference, though? I don't think so.
Well, I don't, you know, maybe.
You never
He'll know.
He'll know the answer.
Maybe it will.
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt, it's Don and Mike, and we're on the air right now. How you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We were just telling people, maybe you can tell us better. When you were on American Idol, Owen, we loved you on American Idol.
Let's give a round of applause. Thanks. You went to the 12. You were one of the 12, Matt.
I was one of the 12 survivors, baby.
Absolutely.
So when you signed up for the show, and now are you on the CD? Are you on the CD?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so you're on the CD. Okay. You had to assume that you're going to be going out for the concert tour, right?
Yes, I did.
Now we have a couple of questions about this. First of all, in years past, when they've all done the touring after the show is over, have they used the 12?
They used the top 10, but in shows past, like for the first show, they didn't have a top 12. They just had a top 10.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so I don't remember that. Last year, they did have a top 12, I guess, but only 9 went because, of course, Corey Carr got the boot, and then Josh Grayson couldn't go because he was in the Marines, so they only took 9.
So who told you? You assumed you were going. Who told you that you're not going on tour?
Well, when we sign our contracts, our lawyer's there, and he says, you know, top 10 are going on tour for sure, and 11 and 12 is an option, but pretty much you guys are guaranteed that you're going to go on the tour. They're not going to take just 10. So everyone's under the assumption that you go, but the actual contract we signed says 11 and 12 is an option, so I understand.
How important to your music career and staying with this is that tour to you, in your opinion?
It's important. I mean, it's important for me because I'm trying to make a lot of stuff happen. I like to get out there, and the exposure is always good. But plus, I think I have more fun than anybody on there on that stage, man. I love it. I just love getting in front of people and performing. So,
well, listen, Matt, I'm no homo, but I'll tell you this: that at least
I'll tell you this, Matt. You really look like a homo on those white pants.
I want to say something. I'm no homo. But in my mind,
you think he's the dreamiest guy?
You were the only masculine presence on that show, with no offense to George Huff, who was like the second closer. But then you've got JPL, you've got the red-haired boy.
John Stevens.
I mean, this guy's the only guy that at least represents men.
And Rogers is the only guy with chest hair out there. What's going on?
But you are also, you have that kind of country thing going for you too, right? I would think that would be a nice little balance to the rest of the performers.
So have you?
I was too, man. I'm sad that I'm not going. I thought, you know, to be honest, like you kind of sit there and you think like, okay, you know, what are my odds? And I thought, you know, I'm kind of like the only man's man, and there's only 3 guys on the tour, so, all right, they're going to take me for sure.
I would think
so. Now, did you call Fox, or did you have your manager call Fox and say, hey, put Matt on this tour?
It's not up to Fox. Everyone on Fox and everyone on American Idol wants me to go. It's up to 19 management. From now on, none of us have anything to do with American Idol. We're all in the hands of 19 management.
But now, isn't
on the tour, it's their CD, everything.
But isn't 19 management the company that runs American Idol?
They're in cahoots with each other. It's more in depth than I know. I just know that American Idol kind of owns us, and 19 owns us, and then after it's over, 19 just owns us.
I wanted to ask you about American Idol because I've asked other people associated with the show about this. As far as the work schedule, I got the impression they just worked you guys to death. Was it a grueling schedule when you got to the top 12?
No, although grueling was when you're in L.A. After you get in front of Paul, Randy, and Simon, then you go to L.A., and there's 117 of you guys trying to make the top 32.
Right.
That's the most grueling because you're up at 6:37, and you're done with that day at like 8, and they give you your assignment for the next day at like 11:30 at night.
Wow. I knew it was that kind of schedule.
So do you think if you get a petition going... Oh, listen, I want to ask you something. Do you remember a guy from the show named Dean Bamowitz?
Yeah, Dean Bamowitz is the hairdresser.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had him on the show yesterday.
We had him on yesterday. He had...
Speaking of homos,
yeah,
we didn't notice.
Speaking of, Listen, do you really think, Matt, that getting a petition together, this online petition, do you think that this is going to change anybody's mind at this 19 company, this Fox 19 company?
It just shows them that there's a lot of people out there that want to see me. I didn't start the petition. It was actually my fans, which I'm really appreciative that they did that. I think it's awesome. But I think it just shows them, like, you know, a lot of people want to see this guy on tour, and it could help your ticket sales because a lot of them are saying, hey, I'm not going to go if Matt doesn't go. And I know that they're not, you know, that ticket sales, they're not doing bad, but they're not selling out. I told them at first when everything came out, they were like, and on every TV show and everything, they're like, oh, you can go see the top 12 on tour. So I told them, like, hey, dude, well, the top 12's not going on tour, so quit promoting the top 12 if we're not going, because you're basically using us to sell tickets when we're going to get asked out in the end and we're not going to go.
So you think that this website actually can help you? Maybe they might come around, or you think they'll dig their heels in and go, hey, you know, petition or no petition, you know, the hell with you.
I hope so, because, I mean, I have a good relationship with everyone there, and a lot of them are all saying, you know, Matt, we really want you to go, we really want you to go, but it's a business decision, and it's like, you know, the thing is, why do they want to spend, I mean, it comes out to something like $220,000 per contestant for the 2.5 month tour, so if they're not going to sell any more tickets, why do they want to pay me another $220,000 out of their pocket, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's what I hope this petition gets across, is that they will sell more tickets if I'm on there.
Okay, but if you get on, do you make $200,000?
Yeah, you make, like, with merchandise and everything, it comes out like $200,000.
Well, hell, no wonder you want to go on that tour, Matt.
Matt, that's all you had to mention.
We'll help you out, buddy.
You can throw in all the baloney about your fans and all that other stuff. You're talking about, you got a chance to make $200,000.
Uh-huh. Seriously, how much money do they make on that show?
How much money
do
they make on that show?
You know,
really. It's a printing press.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would add a little balance to this. I mean, he was entertaining, and it was, I mean, he should be on the tour.
Are you kidding?
Well, I want to draw the money, too, because I even told him, like, look, dude, you guys can pay me half. I'll take a freaking pay cut. I'll go for $100,000. You know what I mean? Or,
that's a good angle, too.
No, I disagree, Mike.
You know? To be honest with you guys, I'd even go for $50,000.
Matt, you know what you're doing.
Don't do this.
Now you're pricing yourself out of the market.
No.
Listen, you don't say that on the radio. In real life, maybe you think that, but your price is $220,000 what the rest are getting.
Now, are you in contact with anybody like in Nashville or any of the country producers to do any kind of an album like that?
No, mostly, to be honest, I'm concentrating more on, like, TV, the small screen and the silver screen. I have a lot of movie readings coming up, and I'm in really good with CAA and my agent over there, Aaron Cully, La Chapelle. She's awesome. So she's sending me on a lot of work, so I'm actually excited. You know, I have no complaints whatsoever.
And Matt, what is the, do you have an actual web address where people can write this? Do you want them to go to the Fox website or another website?
They could go to the Fox website and...
What's that, Eidolon Fox?
EidolonFox.com, and then go under, you know, find under Matt Rogers, and then the petition's on there.
Okay.
There's a little link.
I think that today you'll probably get, and we got, how many, 50 cities, something like
that? Yeah, we have 48, 49 cities.
I bet you'll get 100,000 people signing up for you today.
Did you say help them out?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very serious. Everybody to, because you bring up a point here that's really very true. They're making money hand over fist. We loved watching you squirm on the wire every week. You made it from 70,000 to 12.
Right.
Hey, give the guy the payoff. Put the guy on the tour.
I gave my best, and that's all I could do.
Look, you know, give the guy the same amount of money as you're going to give the red-haired boy.
Right.
Right.
I mean, he's got more talent than the redhead boy.
I
don't know whether that's a compliment or not.
Oh, and listen, Matt, we have to know, who's number 12? We couldn't remember who number 12 was.
Leah LaBelle. She's a good girl, too. She's in Seattle.
Well, that's right. She was pretty good.
Oh, Leah LaBelle. Yeah. I remember her, too. Well, we could do without her. We could do without her.
She's got a sexy little Bulgarian accent. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, let me ask you. Let me ask you an American Idol question here. The best and the worst thing about the entire experience. What was the best part of it?
Oh, wow. The best part of it was getting in front of all those people and all the support, knowing that all these people are watching you, and then just going to the red carpet events and, like, you're the superstar. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And the worst part of it?
The worst part about it was all the assumptions that people had of you that were just way off base. Like, everyone, like, and I felt, I did exactly what they told me not to do, read the message board and read all the hype and stuff like that.
Oh, don't do that, dude.
Yeah. Like, don't. Dean Vanowitz redid my hair. Everyone was saying I was wearing a wig.
I was
laughed about it because, I mean, I don't care. I got the hardest friends in the world. They all bag on me, so I didn't care about that.
Let me ask you a serious, serious question.
Yeah.
This, I swear to God, is absolute serious, because we're talking money.
Okay.
Yesterday was my wife's 49th birthday. She wants someone to perform on her 50th birthday. How much would you charge to if I flew you in, put you up at a first-class hotel, first-class plane, to play in my backyard a year from yesterday, how much would you charge?
A year from yesterday, how much would I charge?
Yeah, because it's a year to her 50th birthday, and Don's just pricing all the talent, and, you know, it starts with Boz Skaggs, and he's working his way around here.
No, I totally appreciate the fact that you asked me, and I would just, if you wanted me to bring my band, I'd just bring my band, and I'd just ask that you hook them up, and then...
So what do you...
expenses, I guess.
I'll tell you that...
accommodations.
Well,
I don't need to make money. Honest to God, I would do it for the plane ticket and the hotel, and I would ask that you just pay my band probably like $200 a person.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There you go.
You're now the front runner.
I'm coming to that part. Well, you know, based on how cool he is, you know, and you know, by that time, you really ought to just etch this in stone, because all of a sudden he gets the movie role. And,
right, no,
you know,
it's down. Listen, you got it. That's the deal. I'll buy you and your crew first-class tickets, put you up at a first-class hotel. You get paid nothing, and your crew gets $200 a man.
There you go.
To see my wife's birthday.
It's only a 5-person crew, so it's going to cost you $1,000.
And no problem. And Matt, in return, I guarantee you, you're going to get a hit with people if you go to idolonfox.com and write in that you heard him on our show today. And just give him his money.
Let the guy have the tour.
Show me the money, baby.
Well, seriously, you know what, really? I mean, they work your ass off for this show. You're on this show. You know, you're putting yourself on the line every week. And I really think it's fair. And the other part is they need the balance of this guy,
That's true.
On the show, simply to be the anti-John Stevens.
Good point.
I appreciate it. I hope it happens.
All right, listen, Matt, let's do this. Let's keep in touch. We'll call you in a couple of days, and you tell us if you don't see, seriously, tens of thousands,
I hope that should happen.
Maybe 100 people.
I think our listeners will step up.
They will. Go to idolonfox.com.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All the listeners out there, if you guys step up for me, that'd be huge and greatly appreciated. And then, if you even want to take it a step further, if I do get on the tour...
Yes.
We should auction off, like, free tickets and then go backstage and meet the idols. I could hook that up, and you could, like, auction
out
all
that.
Different one of your cities.
Sure. Hey, that'd be fantastic.
Very cool. That'd be great, Matt.
Hey, Matt, do you think you would have gone further if you would have worn a flower in your hair? Like Jasmine Trias.
No, it wasn't from Hawaii. It was not.
Yeah. All right, Matt Rogers, there he is. Number 11 from American Idol, getting screwed by the man.
Good luck with everything you do, Matt. I hope it works out for you.
Please go to idolonfox.com. We'll check back with you. Good luck, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, see you, dude. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you know, he was okay.
Yeah. And he's got a band, too. So, I mean, you've got the 50th birthday party covered. Perfect.
He was not a jerk. You know, we got to do a phone scan. 877-365-3636. But I just want to make a real fast call. What are you laughing at?
No, he wasn't a jerk. That's how we rate the guys.
You know what?
Regardless, I feel for the guy. They really do kill those guys when they're on that show. They make tons of money.
Give the kid a break.
And you're right about the balance, too.
Let me call my wife at work.
Okay.
I got to pick up the handset.
Just remember, it's a year from now, though.
Hello? Oh, I called the wrong number. Hold on.
Oh, dear.
That guy, Matt, was the only one of the 12 who looked like to be enjoying himself on the last show.
Oh, he had a blast.
That was the thing about him that I thought it was cool, is he really seemed to dig it.
Yeah, I liked him. He was a nice guy.
So call now for the phone scan at 877-365-3636. I'm listening to a phone ring here for a second. Canada 800-636-1067.
And we'll give the website at the end of the show, too, as far as where you can go for that.
Hi, Samantha. It's me, Mike Source. Is Frida there? Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hold on. Now get to hear the beep, beep.
Do you think she's going to be impressed?
I bet she don't know who he is.
Yeah. She might be a bit underwhelmed.
Just wait. Right. Was she saying it last night, Buzz, at dinner? She was.
Yes, she was. Did she say anybody?
No, she
didn't say that, no.
She said somebody famous.
Well, he's famous.
Yeah. I've already got him booked. And my God, it's a bargain.
He's the 11th greatest singer in America.
Where's he based? Where's
he's
his
not
band?
A jerk.
No, he's
Dom,
not.
Where's his band Mike? Based?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She's not answering her phone.
Okay. Oh, listen, Samantha, you're on the radio, if that's okay with you.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just briefly.
Hey, would you pass a message on to her? Because I know she's working.
I will.
Will you just tell her that for, you know, of course, you work with her. You know, yesterday was Lala Day, her birthday, right?
Yes, I know.
Everybody knows.
She said she had such a great time.
Well, just
that's a good thing.
Give her this message.
Okay.
She wants somebody to perform next year. And I have already got the services of a major entertainer to perform at my wife's 50th birthday.
You did.
Please tell her we just finished up the deal. This is not a joke.
Okay.
From American Idol, the 11th finalist, Matt Rogers. Laugh if you will. Laugh if you will.
Why are you laughing?
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Are you very serious?
He will do it.
The 11th finalist?
Yeah, he didn't make the top 10. He's not going on the tour.
He was the big guy. He was the big guy with the beard, remember?
Did you watch American Idol?
I really tried not to.
Oh, of course.
Getting sucked into it.
Yeah. Well, he was the big country guy, so just tell Frida, whenever she's done doing whatever it is she's doing,
okay,
that I've got that covered. And thanks for going on the radio with us.
Okay.
All right, bye, Samantha.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Samantha.
Well, I think that reaction might be typical.
Think so.
Yeah. You got the 11th finalist.
Okay. All I know is Daddy can afford that.
Yeah, well, it depends on where they're flying from, Don.
True. Compared to the other guys, who cares, right? And now here he is. Happy birthday, Frida. Matt Rogers. Yeah, you know, he'd come out, he would kill. He'd probably do a great job.
Yes,
put him out in the backyard by the barbecue.
Sure.
By the chairs, by those bug things we got in the backyard.
And if you can get him, you can probably get John Peter Lewis. You know, really. You know, seriously. You don't even, here's the deal. You don't have to have them all perform. You can have them perform like karaoke. You get it like a regular DJ, but just fly them all in.
Like, just, what if you instead of... Just have him do cameos.
Just have him do cameos. You know...
Oh, hold on.
That's the idea.
It's like the guy that opened the club. It was in Vegas, I think.
Right.
He paid Missy Elliott $100,000
right,
to walk in the club, look around, and walk out.
That's it.
Okay. That's all he did.
They do that in Miami. They do that everywhere.
I would pay John Stevens $50 to come to my house and just walk around.
Get John Peter Lewis, Matt Rogers, and John Stevens.
Wow.
JPL with a tray of hot hors d'oeuvres.
And then you wouldn't need to get the winner, Fantasia, because Rob could sing just like her.
Rob, listen, your calls on the phone scan, like straight ahead. So call now, you animals.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two, because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well, and Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Yeah, so don't mind. Let me ask.
Okay? Surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone.
Right. Now operating with a 7-day delay, the Don and Mike Show.
On your phone scan here at 877-365-3636, on-screen calls. Here's the deal about Matt Rogers.
Will I get you through the night?
I was just trying to go through idolonfox.com.
All right.
So you go to the website, and then you click on...
Oh, that was confusing.
Start reading. And my God, there are 260,000 off-topic discussions.
Wow. Oh, my God. But
what you want to do is scroll down to, oh, my God, general discussion. Oh, my. Anyway, in there...
And there's not just one place you can go to quickly to...
No, everybody has... It's the Idol Concert Series. That's... There you go.
Ah.
It's on the left-hand side of the screen. Dragged... It's a pull-down screen.
Okay.
Idol Concert Series, Matt on Tour. I bet these are just since we came on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here you go. Send Matt on the tour and pay him his $220,000. Good. Good. All right. That's good for you for getting through. I couldn't figure out the goddamn website. DA says if you want to vote for him, not on the Idol website, go to petitionspot.com /petitions/MattRogers2tour. That's an awful lot to remember.
Got it.
I think it's
is there an easier way to do this?
I think if you go to Idle on Fox and just screw around with the toolbar, you'll get the message boards. And then find where it says Idle's on Tour.
Yeah, maybe we can get more information to make it a little easier.
That'd be nice. We'll try to do that.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Phone scam now. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, you're on the air.
How's it going today?
Okay, my friend.
So what do you guys think of the season finale of The Sopranos?
We discussed that at great length on yesterday's show. The question would be, where were you yesterday?
Should have been here.
Oh, I was at work. Sorry about that.
You were at work. Well, so were we. Sorry about it.
Hear ya.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, we can't make any exceptions.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. Hi, Bob.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello? I have a question.
Yes, a question, yes.
I want to ask Buzz what his favorite Andrew Blake video was.
Good question.
I think the classic is still Night Trips.
Night Trips?
Yeah, that's the go-to film by Andrew Blake.
What would be like second and third?
Night Trips 2 would be second, and I have a third one at home now that I love. I don't remember the name of it. I think it's called Secrets. I'll double-check and get back to you.
We're updated. Who's that?
That's Mrs. Source, Don.
The luckiest woman in the world?
Michael Source.
Frida, your wife.
Hey, baby?
Yes, my darling.
Listen, I didn't mean to call you at work,
but it was an emergency.
I was mentioning about your desire to have a performer at your 50th birthday party.
Yes.
And I know that you told me today you were kidding about the Boss Gags thing, like you were kidding about the thing with the card from Robert, Spiewak, your grandson. But
godson.
I want your godson. Sorry.
However,
that says something right there. I don't think we need to dwell on that, but we certainly could if we chose.
However,
that's your fantasy that Rob was our son.
Yeah,
however,
that is. That is the relationship a little. There's a little of that. Tell the truth. A little bit.
Yeah. Sure.
Son like your boy.
Proud of the boy.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, listen to this, darling. What if I was to tell you, do you remember of all of the final 12 from American Idol this year, who is the best man? Who is the best male singer?
Hey, I didn't tune in to the beginning until, like, George Huff days. And
okay, no.
Then
you must not remember contestant number 11, Matt Rogers.
Was he the big country looking?
Yes, that's the guy.
And, darling, I am not kidding you. It's a commitment from him to fly in and do your birthday next year.
Okay, well, definitely lots of drinking at my party then.
Hey, listen, you can't beat the price. He said he'd do it for nothing. You pay the guys in his band $200 each.
And you fly him in first class.
Just got to fly him first and put him up in a good flea bag. I thought you'd be happy.
Maybe for my 75th, could I get Boss Gags?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, boo-boo.
Thank you.
Thanks for working for me.
You're welcome.
All right, sugar.
I'm just the gift horse. Just keep hitting me in the mouth.
I know.
All right, goodbye.
Nice object, as long as it's free.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, forget that.
Well, she's not impressed at all.
That's too bad. I'll still have the guy come to my house and do a concert.
That must have been a cell phone, because it broke up before she said thank you.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello, phone scan.
Yes, we can hear you breathing, sir.
And you're out of there. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello, dear. Oh, Don and Mike, dear.
That's the real Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello, I think the Lakers are going to take it this evening, dear. Hello!
You know what, Mrs. Doubtfire? I like Detroit tonight.
You do, dear. Detroit, they don't know what they're doing, laddies. They shoot the ball on the side of their heads.
Yeah.
They're in by 13.
But they play that smothering defense, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello, dear. You put your eye down on the smothering defense, dear.
Doubtfire knows the round ball.
Pretty much all they
hello,
do
dear,
is
the hello, dear. Yeah, but that's worth it.
I agree. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hey, hi.
I got the jab play for you, man.
You got the
for
what?
For Peter's birthday. The jab play.
Oh, go ahead.
Village people.
Yeah, you
gotta have
them. Cheap. Yep.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? All I gotta do is go up to the third floor. Corner office, third
absolutely.
Floor.
Absolutely, yeah. Just get the costumes back.
I love Don and Mike Show.
Hello,
hi.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Howdy. Are you guys going to watch the Last Comic Standing tonight?
I had not planned on it. You, Mike?
No, I will be somewhere else tonight. Hadn't planned on it, no.
No, that was on last year. You know, there's a million of those reality shows that are coming back.
Summer wannabes.
I was going to say, it's important that you all watch it. Root for Joe.
I know. Joe. Yeah, later this week, we're having the guy on from whoever the new dope is, the new stupid bachelor on For Love or Money.
Mm-hmm. For Love or Money on NBC.
The guy who is on the joke or is not in on the joke.
The mortgage broker guy.
They
say they're going to pay him $1 million, but they're not. They're going to pay him $1. There's so much of this reality stuff to keep track of. It's almost impossible to figure it all out.
Excuse me, I'm not sure. Beth Ann, what is the deal with this guy?
He's coming on Thursday. His name is Preston Mercer.
Okay, and he's a mortgage banker, right? A mortgage broker.
Is the joke on him or the joke on the girls in this show?
Well, for the first part of the show, the joke was on him. But for the second part of the show, the joke's on the girls now.
Oh.
Because he knows. See, what they're doing this time is they can win anywhere from $1 to $1 million.
Okay.
But they've seen their checks, but they have to put them under one of those infrared lights that tell you how much it's worth.
God, they go to incredible lengths.
Boy, that's pretty involved. It really is.
So does this guy that we're going to have on the show, this bachelor, does he end up lying to the girls? Or do they end up lying to him?
They're both lying to each other.
They're lying to each other.
That's a great thing.
Okay, well.
It's a lie fest.
Okay, thank you, B.A.
Just like real life.
Yes, like reality.
Yeah. That's real reality.
That's the name.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, I have tickets to the American Idol show here in D.C., and I have to say the only reason I'd be glad the fact that I'm here is that...
Loser, pathetic, loser, pay for tickets.
Don has something caught in his throat, man.
He'll be right with you. Pay for tickets.
Hold on a second.
Talent show of all
time. Don has, it's the pollen. He's trying to catch his breath.
Loser.
Hi. What were you saying?
I was saying that the only reason I'd be glad that Matt Rogers was actually added to the tour because it would give me more of an excuse to go out and drink heavily on the concourse.
Oh, okay. So this is,
this
is somebody who's going to this show and is busting his job.
Okay.
Well, who would be your favorite male performer that you're dying to see?
Well, I thought all the men sucked, but if you had to put into the category, you know, Jennifer Hudson's voice is kind of male-ish. So
hold on. Of the four guys, though.
You've
got Matt, you've got the red-haired boy, you've got JPL, and you've got George Hoffman.
And please don't refer to him as the red-haired boy. His name is John Stevens.
But you've got those four. Out of those four, who's your favorite?
I think I'd have to take George Huff over The Hobbit and Howdy Doody.
You know what, though? I think John Stevens will have a more successful career than any of the other men there. I think everybody thinks he sucked, but he's just got to change his name to Cat.
Cat Stevens.
Hey, you know, Cat Stevens has been under the radar for a while.
I see a future for him. Oh, there's Cat Stevens checking in. I see the future for him in snuff films.
Oh, that'd be very good.
Where he's the subject.
Yes. Don and Mike, let me just step
one
on
one big blockbuster.
with their high heels. Like they do with the mice. Yeah.
Like Crush video?
That'd be Crush film.
A Crush video, yeah. not a snuff video.
And tonight, John Stevens is going to be crushed.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio Gods.
Howdy, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, calling from Las Vegas.
Okay, thank you.
What's up, buddy?
Nothing.
Never mind.
Was that it?
Yeah. Right.
That's all he had.
That's okay, but he ejected. We like hearing eject when you realize the call's going nowhere.
Calling from Vegas, yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Say something about it.
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, I was calling from Sacramento. I just want to say hi. And remember back in the day when you had cassette decks in your car?
Yes.
Remember back in the day when we had cassette decks in our car? Yes, we do.
Did you guys prefer the Dolby noise reduction on or off?
The relevance. I preferred it off.
I believe on. I believe on.
In the car, off.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm an off guy myself.
Yeah, and I really think that we're right now, you know, we the show hasn't stopped.
But
the train is pulling into the station.
So here's the thing. We're coasting now. We better hope that when we turn the next corner, it's downhill.
Yeah. I certainly hope the next caller helps us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Howdy.
Hey, you could get Clay Aiken to come over and butcher the national anthem like he did at the NASCAR race.
When did Clay Aiken sing the national anthem at NASCAR?
Last weekend at the NBA 400.
At Dover?
Yeah, Marine General Peter Pace looked like he wanted to choke him out.
Thank you. All right.
That's a good call.
Another great Idol story.
Oh, and you know, the Bush race, our guy Johnny Sauter, who I think is coming on again, did have a top 10 finish in the Bush race.
Yes, he was optimistic about that one.
And it was top 20 in the Dover
400. And they had to do that one yesterday, right? They had to finish that yesterday.
Correct. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Oh, come on, people. Why aren't you listening?
You're killing me.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, Mike, you forgot the greatest movie that cuts across all ages and all time.
Okay.
Nell. Nell is...
Nell's giving us plenty of material.
Nell's special. But Nell is...
Can't.
Nell is special in our hearts, though.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, in light of the Joe
Hold on, were you just doing some Imus?
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay, no.
That's all right.
No, I'll give you a chime for that. Oh, Dynamite?
I'm not sure if they're all there.
Dynamite?
Hey, in light of the Joe tapes being put on the back burner,
yes.
Sometimes things from the back burner that have been put on the back burner have to be brought back up front, so how about the Jerry tapes?
Huh? Jerry
from the Labor Day telethon.
No, you're going to have to wait until this year's Labor Day to hear the Jerry tape.
Okay, man.
All right, man.
Okay, man.
And look at Rob.
Rob still
got
has
them.
Fun. Sure.
He's got them.
Come on, play one.
Okay,
you want to put in Jerry Lewis from the telethon.
You went to the time and drove. This was back
in... I'm so in the mood for that right now.
September of last year.
I am so totally in the mood for
Rob that. Taped the entire Jerry Lewis telethon, and we normally go by...
Just to hear a little out of breath Jerry.
And you know, we nitpick it, and we have fun with it. What is the one cut you'll select for us to hear?
I want to hear Jerry talk to Tony Orlando.
Very good.
Okay.
That's good.
That'll be a winner.
Now, Rob, this is your whole bunch of stuff here. And you know, it might never see the light of day.
You got to pick the best Jerry Lewis telethon cut.
Well, the best one we've used where he says the word retard.
Well, that might be worth hearing again, though.
Yeah, let's hear that.
If it's strong.
Oh, no, not the one, not something we've heard already.
Do you remember it, though?
Yes, I do. I know, but
what does he say?
He says he's talking about somebody who's slamming something, and he uses the word retard.
Oh, I remember,
Come on, something fresh. How about Jerry talks about me?
You mean Jerry talks about himself?
He says, let me thank you.
Okay, all right, here you go. Are you still there, my friend? Caller?
He's gone. No,
he's gone.
He just ran away and he's listening.
Here's his long-distance dedication. From last year's telethon. Jerry Lewis.
I find...
Hold on. Before we do this, do you want us to count when he says I or me?
I think both.
Yeah.
I and me. Okay, Buzz, will you count?
Uh-huh.
And I'll keep the low level so we can count.
Very good.
Here we go. Jerry?
I find... Harold, I find myself...
There it is.
Ordinarily, never at the loss... for words, and I've been known to shoot my mouth off pretty well and say what I have to say. The only downside of my firefighters is that always feel inept, and I always feel that I haven't really acknowledged our gratitude in a fashion that my firefighters are entitled to.
My firefighters.
And I have to do something about that. And the best thing that I can offer is please let me come to the next convention.
Please.
And let me tell them exactly how I would like to tell them now.
Oops, sorry, one thing.
I am, of course, having to respect the time factor, and I can't do that. But please let me come to the convention and let all of the 260,000 members know where my heart is and where the hearts of this country are. I need to do that.
We'll see you in Boston next August. It's my re-election. I need you there. Anyway.
I'll be there.
Okay.
I'll be there. Thanks, Harold.
Thanks, Harold. Yes. Yay.
All right, now, how long was that segment, Robbie? That was like a minute 15?
Minute 14.
Minute 14. Buzz, were you counting?
Yes, I was.
How many?
22 times. 22. I, me, or my.
22 times.
My firefighters.
One more?
Oh, it's too long. I'm sorry.
What is it?
He yells at the orchestra.
Oh, yelling at the orchestra.
It's always good.
Mike, we don't have time. We got to put it. We want to talk to the guy who's doing the TV show with O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's right. We have to do that.
And we'll put that in the hopper.
I will.
We do have a lot of tapes.
Very good.
That we've not played yet. We got to end the phone scan here. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I just was calling my mom to tell him coming up in about a year, I'm going to have JPL, Matt Rogers, and the red-haired boy with Frida Storrs and Mike Storrs. We're going to have Gloria six-way sex.
All right, get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Radio Gods.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering if you could play that little bit from when Luthard went up to see Jerry Seinfeld. I kind of miss him down there at the Aspen Hill Cleaners.
We play it once in a while. This is not request-o-matic, my friend.
No.
The one guy got away with it because we hadn't heard the Jerry.
That's right.
It'll be
back.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Is it me?
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's
a disqualification.
Amen. You're just trying to give something away now.
One last caller. Don and Mike, hello. Hello? I'm trying. All the lines are lit. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, if I was to put 10 guys up against a wall and hug, you know, maybe 6 or 7 of them, what would happen?
I want to tell you, that's funny.
That's Jerry.
That's funny because that's a thinking man out there.
That's absolutely right.
It's a thinking man in a moron's paradise, which is the Don and Mike show.
And it's a tribute to Jerry Lewis. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you guys, though, there is a requisite.
What's that?
You have to have a dystrophic child.
There it is. That's another right. Jerry line.
You're a winner.
Very good.
Boy, are you a winner.
Good job.
What's your name? What is your name?
My name is Big Ed in Sacramento.
Big Ed in Sacramento.
Big Ed? Although, you know, really.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're supposed to disqualify me, huh?
Big on your birth certificate?
The big?
Yeah.
It's not official yet.
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry. No prize on
what a shame. No, he was doing good so well.
He was a great caller. He's funny. He made us laugh, but he is not Big Ed.
You're not the big.
Rules are rules. He is that. When we come back, hey, listen, this is a good pull for us. We were talking about O.J., and I mentioned if Reagan hadn't croaked, then everybody would be screaming about O.J. and all these interviews he's doing.
Right.
One of the stories that we've heard is that O.J. has a reality show that he is pitching. No one's bought it yet.
But they've taped some episodes.
Yes, yeah. It's called Juiced. It's like Punked,
right?
Except it's O.J. pulling pranks on people.
And won't that be a big surprise?
Anyway, there is a there's a guy who's the host of the show, and we'll have him on what after this commercial?
Yeah, he's waiting for your
call. After this commercial?
Yeah.
You found the Jerry tape. Okay.
But do you ever think about not being?
Yes.
Of course, absolutely. And it saddens me to think that I'll miss her graduation, maybe. But I have a very simple philosophy. There are 10 men standing against the wall.
Uh-huh.
I will go and start to hug them, knowing that 3 are going to turn me down. So I should stay over here and not go for the 7?
Huh?
Doesn't make any sense.
What, Jerry?
I got news for you. When you go, you usually get 8 and maybe 9.
So you would say to men watching in their 60s who have married again and with someone in their early 40s...
A Donald, I?
Yep, do it.
I'm the role model for joy and excitement.
God.
And living your life so that when you wake up every morning, you look up to God and say, thank you for letting them open again.
Shut up. Let a real man speak.
I felt an anger that I had never felt in my entire life. And I called my attorney in Washington, and I said, I'm going after these bastards.
Yeah. I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Okay, too many tapes.
They're going to try to get the upper hand.
Oh, God.
Mike wants the defense to do well.
All right, Bill.
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Taken.
That's a weird cocktail. That's Jerry Lewis and Wayne Newton and Bill Parcells.
Yeah, put those guys in a room together.
And we'll be back with the guy who's doing the TV show with O.J. Simpson.
What's that smell?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take a call. Cape, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of, not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike?
Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
I think that's where they originated from,
yeah. Las Vegas, hello.
The Don and Mike Show.
Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike? I don't know if they're on or not.
Don and Mike are on in Washington.
Yeah, they both know.
Of course they both know
exactly what they're, but they don't want to appear like they know.
Of course they
they're
don't.
They're so flustered.
OJ, OJ. Goddamn. The TV show. Now, I don't know if he's been on CNN yet, or no, it's Fox News with Greta Van Facelift,
right?
I saw excerpts this morning of the Today Show,
right,
from the stuff on Friday night with Katie Couric.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's come out about OJ in this, the 10th anniversary of him killing his wife, is the fact that OJ has a TV show that he's trying to peddle.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called Juiced.
A la Punked,
right,
which is a practical joke show.
So the guy that we're going to talk to, who's the host, who was the second guy on the show, his job required helping OJ pull these pranks, such as OJ as a hotel clerk who can't tell you how to get to your room, or OJ trying to sell car customers a Ford Bronco.
All right. Oh. Wow. So they really deal with
directly
with his stuff.
They do. Also, at times, OJ forgot he was supposed to be doing his hidden camera show. Mm-hmm. On more than one time, OJ would ask a person who he's setting up in one of these scams, "Hey, I'm OJ Simpson. Do you recognize me?"
So he'd screw up.
He would.
Wow.
Let's call the guy who's the host.
Okay. But really, the host of a show that hasn't seen the light of air yet.
Right. But it's one of those shows that's getting cult status, Family Guy status.
OJ says there's a 70 to 80% chance the show will be picked up. All right? That's his.
We'll call.
Hey, it's Harmon.
Harmon, it's Don and Mike. What's happening, dude?
Hey, how are you?
We're great.
This is Harmon Leon.
Yeah, we should mention that Harmon will talk more about OJ and this TV show if you have the July issue of Stuff Magazine.
Okay, very good.
Stuff Magazine.
That's where Harmon will be. Harmon, you were the guy. How many weeks did you work with OJ on the TV show Juiced?
I worked on 2 weeks. 1 week in Vegas, and then we moved the whole crew to Los Angeles.
Now, how great is this that you got him at a car dealership trying to sell Ford Broncos? Now, first of all, when OJ's there, are there people who still don't recognize OJ? Obviously, there must be, right?
I think OJ is probably one of the most recognizable faces on the planet, if you think about it. Everyone knew who he was right away. So the gag there was people came onto this car lot, and OJ posed as a used car salesman and tried to sell him a white Ford Bronco, which, as you might remember, was the car that he held a gun to his head to.
Right. Now, when he's out there, if they recognize him, does anybody say, "Hey, you're OJ. Why you're trying to sell me the same type of car that Al Cowlings is driving?"
It didn't really go to that. People just kind of like they just thought it was a weird scenario, and they didn't really go, "You're OJ." When the prank was exposed, they go, "Yeah, I thought it was OJ right away."
So the payoff is not all that surprising.
It wasn't that surprising, but just the surprising part was just seeing OJ in action.
What about
kind of in between takes where he'd comment on his own Ford Bronco escapade and had a great escapability.
So how did you get this deal with him to do a TV show which had not been picked up yet? But the show Juiced. How did you hook up with OJ?
Well, what I am, I'm actually a journalist and a writer. So they had a listing for writers wanted for a hidden camera show, but they didn't say who exactly it was with.
What was your reaction when you found out that that this was going to be OJ?
Okay, so the producer tells me, and he said the show is with OJ Simpson, and my exact words were there's like a pause, and then my words were, "Oh my God!"
Yeah.
How else would you react? Because they said it was a celebrity, and they wouldn't tell me who. So my mind was kind of wondering, going to all the extremes.
Did you get paid
and
up?
I couldn't even think or conceive that it would be OJ.
Did you get paid up front?
No, at the end.
At the
real reason I took the gig is because I'm a journalist. I go undercover into places like this or the Church of Scientology or like militant gun ranches in Kentucky. And I couldn't pass up an opportunity to be on the inner circle of this and right from the front lines.
Now without giving out what you've written in stuff, and we won't ask you to give all that stuff out, no pun intended,
yeah.
But obviously you have an attitude I think that most of us have about OJ. Can you tell us anything? I mean, you know, I know that all the stuff's in the article, but tell us something good in the article that people would really love to hear about how crazy OJ still is.
Well, like between takes, there's like some downtime, and we're like all sitting in this motel room while OJ was getting makeup applied, and it was just really strange to see that his TV channel of choice was Court TV.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess addicted to trials.
Thank God.
It got really, really uncomfortable first when Court TV started talking about the Scott Peterson case, if you're not familiar.
Sure. Oh, no, right.
And then they started talking about the Martha Stewart trial and celebrity trials in general, and then it just got really uncomfortable because I just didn't want the reporter on Court TV just start going off on OJ, straight in front of OJ, and I just didn't want to see what that kind of combustible mixture would happen there.
Is it true or false? Buzz had this on the news a couple weeks ago. Does OJ want to be on Court TV?
You mean like when they're filming his trial? Or?
No, I mean like as a commentator or anchor.
That's the first I heard of that.
That's
but where did you hear of that?
Buzz, where did we hear of that?
On the news. We had it in the news recently.
Oh, wow.
It was a news story that he was looking to get a gig as an analyst on Court TV.
Right.
My question would be, when you took this job, so did you have kind of a hidden agenda going into this where, hey, you know, your first thought is, well, a job is a job, but then you said, well, this will be an incredible opportunity to write an article about OJ behind the scenes, right?
Well, yeah. It was the article aspect.
Okay.
Because I think that's like, you know, because I've been writing stories for about 8 years. I have a book that came out last year called The Harmon Chronicles, which tells of, like, other undercover stuff. But by far, I've never been in a situation like this, so there's no way I could have passed it up.
Have they gotten back to you that whether they're happy or not about you writing this article for stuff?
Well, it hasn't come out yet.
Have you seen the... it's in the July issue of Stuff.
Yeah. It should be on the newsstands in about a week or so.
Have you seen any of the episodes of Juiced?
No. It's actually... Well, I think what they're planning is a straight-to-DVD sort of...
Oh.
but they might have other plans for it.
Oh, my God. Now, if it gets bigger than that, which obviously it probably won't, but if they were to get picked up by some sort of network, and I mean some sort of network, would you be the guy? Would they call you to do some more of these, or do you think that's a one-shot deal, so to speak?
I don't know. I think I've done my time in the Juiced arena.
And
I've juiced.
When you had
been juiced.
How many different pranks did you have OJ pull while you were filming these?
Only for about 2 weeks, so we had like kind of a wide variety of them. From we're interviewing potential roommates, and they came in, and I kind of like pulled myself my roommate, you know, how I didn't get along with them.
Yeah,
and OJ would come in.
That's funny.
So it was all kind of. It sounds funny, and it sounds like it could be funny if he, like, you know, if he would have hammed it up a bit, but he's just, like, really, you know, he has that really people-pleasing, friendly quality, you know?
And it just didn't, so do you figure the show really didn't work that well, or what?
I think it worked on the level which they were aiming at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, we understand.
Which would be the lowest common denominator.
And straight to DVD.
Yeah.
And anyway, listen, can I tell you something, Harmon?
Yeah.
You are the Ryan Seacrest of mass murderers.
You really are.
What you got to do is get your hair spiked like Ryan Seacrest.
I would want to know, and I don't know if this is in the article. I hope it's not. But I want to ask you, really, overall, your overall impression of OJ's state of mind. Could you give us that?
Well, I don't really want to comment too much on that just because... he could easily get my home phone number. It's kind of like this fine line doing these radio shows, you know?
I gotcha.
Wow, well, that says a lot.
So, like, I just kind of want to just tell, you know, about the gags. I don't want to...
You don't want to get comment on OJ himself.
Well,
did anybody,
you know,
just last question, when you're doing these juiced things,
right.
Did anybody get flipped out and go, Jesus Christ, it's O.J. Simpson, and like run away because they were afraid.
Yeah, that's what you would think, and that's what I thought would happen, but you know, just the weird Americana of it all. People are actually just really pleased to meet O.J. their picture taken, autographs, that sort of thing.
Cult of celebrity.
The weird cult of celebrity is just overwhelming.
And also no angry reactions from people say, I don't want to have anything to do with you or anything like that?
Well, I think they had trouble getting like some locations to film at, and that was probably the only part of that. You know, they wanted to film like at a wax museum, but they got turned down and things like that.
Hey, that would have been great, O.J. stepping out from a wax museum.
Wow. No.
Well, listen, Harmon, thank you for your time. You can read this article in the July issue of Stuff, and if this thing ever makes it to TV or whenever it makes it to DVD. Harmon, now what? You're the straight guy on the show. Is that
I'm the second banana.
Okay, so you like are the you play the roommate or one of these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay. Harmon, thanks for your time, dude.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll see you.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
I hope he's got a little juicy stuff in Stuff magazine.
Oh, I bet I got the feeling.
No, you know, when I asked him about State of Mind, well, he could get my home number.
Yeah, I got the feeling. OJ's nuts. He just doesn't want to say it.
Well, total denial and also still the chance that he could stab you in the throat.
It's too bad there's no video of OJ's first prank.
Yeah. Oh, God. There are still pictures of some of his earlier trial pranks.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about OJ not being focused enough on to be a candid camera type show and just saying, I'm OJ, don't you recognize me?
Yeah, shaking hands and being this, well, he's out of his mind.
Well, that would explain it.
Juice!
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Here he is, Buzz.
That's me. He made it up.
Okay, Buzz, here we go. What's the lead on the news and comments today?
Today, the Republican push to put Reagan's face on the $10 bill.
Here they go.
Whatever. Do you have the story? Do they want to put him on the dime? Is that
there's talk about that? I'll explain that and the differences between the two.
So so you don't take FDR off the dime, right?
Well, that's one proposal.
How do you call it in the air? A cripple. Alzheimer's. I mean, if you got Reagan on one side and FDR on the other side.
Yeah, they both see heads. It can't work, Don.
Okay, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
OJ.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The comedy stars of the Alan Line One Radio Funhouse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time for Buzz, the news show now. Buzz brought to you by Veramax, world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Number one, does it really work?
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested, patented Veramax. Get it nationwide. 1-888 try VMAX. Remember that incredibly long email address we gave out other than idleonfox.com?
Yeah, I found it very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, hundreds of people haven't.
Okay.
If you heard Matt Rogers on the show, it's petitionspot.com/petitions/Matt Rogers2Tour. That's an awful lot. BA just went on, and there are the messages. Here's the ones that we know are people who heard him on this show today.
Okay.
Matt Rogers and Don and Mike Rule, let Matt on the tour. I agree with the arguments made on the Don and Mike show for Matt to go on tour. We want Matt on tour. Glad Don and Mike were able to interview him. Let Matt make his money. Don and Mike...
Let Matt make
Ruthless,
his money.
What is Matt? Let Matt on the tour. He has class and talent. Don and Mike, listener here. Let Matt on tour. Don and Mike interview with Matt was great. Send him on tour. There's an awful lot of people. Pay that man his effing money.
Pay that man his money.
Let me see. Don and Mike rock. American Idol sucks. If Hayseed Matt doesn't go on the tour,
Hayseed.
We need at least one man on the tour. Best entertainer of all 12. And then here's another one. Pay that man his money.
Yeah, that man his money.
Anyway, there's hundreds of them. I don't think that it's going to make Hill of Beans a difference.
Nope, I think they probably made their decision. They're probably already rehearsing for it.
But give it a shot. I'm over on idleonfox.com, which is much more confusing to get to. You have to click on message boards and then find about the tour. And there, a lot of our listeners are logging there as well.
Neither one's easy, but people are managing.
Unfortunately, they're not all complimentary.
Oh.
I want to think it's a bunch of crap that Matt is not going on tour. He was great on Don and Mike. Matt was good. He's great. Don and Mike are good. Before signing the petition, go to AskFox.com to support Matt. I don't know if they can change their minds now. Don and Mike suck. Matt Rogers sucks.
Wow.
Hey, Don and Mike, your time would be better spent helping that loser look for a real job.
Oh, God.
So there's lots of fun stuff all over the place.
You know what would be funny? What if you guys ended up on the American Idol tour?
Hey, wouldn't we be fantastic?
That'd
happen.
Be great, huh? Yeah, we could be the MCs.
Yeah, and we'd be the dancers.
And now here is the... And you could wear the outfit you had yesterday.
Yeah, just jeans with no shirt on and my Outback Jack hat.
Here is Buzz Gridley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Alexander Hamilton was America's first Treasury Secretary, so they put his face on the $10 bill. The Republicans have already proposed that Hamilton be replaced on that bill by Ronald Reagan. If they cannot sell that idea, word is they'll propose that Reagan split the dime with Franklin Roosevelt, who currently has the currency all to himself. Half of the dime, this is how it would work, it wouldn't be on either side of the coin. Half of the dimes minted would feature Reagan, the other half would keep FDR.
No. Listen, here's one of two things. Mm-hmm. It's either Reagan on one side, FDR on the other, or you'd be like Batman and you make it Two-Face.
Yeah, Two-Face would be fantastic. Yeah, you basically have two heads. It would be perfect.
Even Nancy is...
Oh, no, just one head, Mike.
With a split?
Right down the middle.
You got half FDR and half Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, this Harvey Dent, half of his face was burned by acid. The other half was very handsome.
But the United States has all coins in profile. It's easier to sculpt that way.
I tell you, the Republicans love their Ronnie, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They really do.
The same guy who's pushing for the $10 bill is the same guy who got to Washington National Airport changed to Reagan National Airport.
Mm-hmm.
But even Nancy is said to be against dumping FDR entirely from the dime, and expert on
excuse me, Buzz, important question, just thought.
Yeah?
Do you think she's dating yet?
No.
Stop it.
Maybe next week.
Stop it.
She has needs.
Yes, right.
And Merv, I'm alone.
Merv.
Oh, stop.
That's why he's there.
Take off those big hairy glasses,
you bad,
Nancy.
You bad kids.
An expert on Alexander Hamilton says Reagan might have been against dumping him since Hamilton predicted the capitalist economy that Reagan adored so much.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, meanwhile...
Why don't we put Bill Clinton on every condom?
Funny you should mention him.
Really?
He's feeling kind of peso right now, what with the body barely cold. But we're hearing that privately, former President Bill Clinton is angry and disappointed that he and former President Jimmy Carter have not been invited to speak at the funeral. Quoting a source to the Drudge Report, Clinton really held out all hope the funeral would be a nonpartisan event like Nixon's was. The source says Clinton's people are convinced Nancy Reagan has personally shut out Bill.
Well, don't you think that they should have Clinton there? I mean, he was there for eight years.
A state funeral is a state funeral. This is the president of the United States.
For everybody, for all people.
You know, this is partisan, and it's going to be partisan, and that's what's going to happen.
And let Jimmy Carter go. What's he doing? He's building houses in Georgia. He's doing nothing.
That's kind of ridiculous. I mean, they should be there. I don't know about speaking. That is up to Nancy Reagan. But really, every president should be at a state funeral. Isn't that the way it's supposed to do it?
Yes, usually. The two President Bushes, current and former, will speak at the funeral along with a couple of former foreign ministers.
But not our former elected president.
Not two former presidents.
Right, not the two dopes.
Are they invited to be? I mean,
I understand it, they're invited to be at the funeral. But
so what?
But we have former foreign ministers speaking at the funeral. Other presidents are speaking at the funeral. It just seems a little partisan.
I don't know. It's partisan. Well, I don't think. Don't you have like one or two eulogies? Isn't that about it? Or
Not on this funeral. First off, there's going to be so many different venues where people are going to be able to speak.
Right, right.
But I think from what I read at the major thing they're having here on Friday,
mm-hmm.
it's going to almost be like a Dean Martin roast.
Really?
I think there's going to be quite a few people.
With the same material.
Yeah, that's right. They're all going to come up and tell the same joke.
I want to tell you. There's Kip Adada.
I want to tell you. And Ronald Reagan was a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for joining me. Here's Colin Quinn.
I'm just kidding, of course. Loved him to death.
Now here's Kevin James.
Some network news reporters reportedly went into chaos mode when news of Reagan's death broke. The New York Post says ABC was first with the story, and the paper says the reporters who traveled with the president first. The New York Post says ABC was first with the story, and the paper says the reporters who traveled with the president first heard it when ABC's Terry Moran started doing a live report right there in front of them. Suddenly, quoting a witness, total chaos, people running everywhere and knocking into things. CNN's John King reportedly yelled into his cell phone that CNN had been beaten and that he might just quit over it.
My God, Reagan is dead. CNN got beaten. I'm going to quit.
King, then,
is it that much of a scoop?
Well, it is to these guys.
Hold on. Like all of the networks didn't have a tape. Standing by.
They all did.
They did.
Like they would have for the Pope or they would have for Bob Hope.
And what's funny about how long they'd prepared these tapes in advance is ABC's tape was from Sam Donaldson, who doesn't do stuff for ABC News anymore.
Right.
CNN's tape was from Frank Sesno, and
right.
He's not with them anymore. That's how long it's been since they put those packages.
So on CNN.
Yeah, there's kind of a dozen.
Right. President Bush has been told he has the authority to order his people to torture the bad guys. He got that advice from his own team of White House lawyers. They were asked for a legal opinion about the Iraqi prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon says its own policies are more narrow than what those lawyers had in mind. And now Attorney General John Ashcroft is refusing to turn over to lawmakers that memo, which Delaware Democrat Joe Biden says might be in contempt of Congress.
Wow.
Growing hair.
Man, it just gets thicker and thicker.
It sure does.
And they keep mentioning, I know I said this yesterday, but it bears repeating in case you didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. In all of the coverage, especially on Fox News, right. But I saw it on ABC as well, every time they mention, and they're having the round group discussions about Reagan,
right.
They all like saying all the guys that covered him. You know, there were lots of jokes made about him. There were political jokes. There were jokes that he didn't know what was going on.
Right. Sure.
And looking back now, 20 years later, very similar to the way that the American people look at George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I was alive during that. I wasn't as politically astute as I am now. I'm still a dope. But I'll tell you this. Reagan was a dope, but I'll say this for him. He had one thing. He had charisma.
He was the
had.
Everybody agrees that he was the great communicator.
He had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like standing up for Reagan because I'm on the other side now, Mike. But I imagine.
No, I know what you're saying.
If it was Iraq right now and Reagan was in charge, you might not agree with why we were there. But that son of a bitch would have laid out an argument and would have said, you know, hey, this is how I feel and this is what I'm doing.
He'd be able to communicate it,
and that's it.
And you know, really, what is the job? What is the job more than anything else than communicating your plan, communicating your agenda, and that is what he had. And everybody agrees with that. Whether you agree with his politics or not, that is what he did.
And it's an insult.
He did that effectively.
It is an insult to the memory, which is now being overblown by everybody with all these specials of Reagan, to say, yeah, he was great and he was smart and he did all this stuff and he really brought America together. But a lot of people hated him, just like people hate George Bush now.
Yeah, that's not it. You can't make that comparison.
I guarantee you, 20 years from now, when George W. Bush is in a box, there ain't going to be any special on the Fox News Channel about, hey, do you remember 20 years ago when we all said how dumb he was? And boy, were we proven wrong.
No $10 bills, no people crying over not being able to speak at a funeral.
I don't see that happening.
No.
Nor do I.
No. The city of Orlando,
but
Florida.
But also, can I say, without just sounding morose, enough? Okay, he's dead.
Yeah, but
he's going to continue. It's the week. It's
know,
the week. You know, really, you're talking about the last president, you know, with an overwhelming popularity and with an overwhelming popularity rating, and also a landslide victory in his second term.
Well,
you're talking about somebody that's this is and it's the first state funeral that we've had since in 30 years.
Right.
So that's why whether you like it or not, you're going to get it. You're going to get it all the time.
You know what people were lining up for today downtown here in D.C. where they were practicing.
Mm-hmm.
They're practicing for when they're going to have the ceremony. So they were bringing by a casket draped in the American flag.
Right.
And obviously people are reads with the TV vultures love.
Oh, you mean they were actually doing a dry run?
Yes, they're practicing.
It was a wax dummy in that one.
There was a part of me thinking, you know what?
You never got to move. You never got to move the guy. All you really got to do is just bring a box down the street. People get the same thing.
Well, that's fine. Make it a fake funeral. And it's like, is that what you want to do? Make it a fake funeral.
Well, here's the thing. If you're in Simi Valley and you're waiting at the Reagan Library out there in California to get a look at him, and some people waited up to 12 hours.
Right.
When you finally get in, it's not an open casket. It's not like on The Sopranos.
No, you're seeing the casket where the president is.
Right. So maybe he's in there, maybe he's not in there.
Hey, there you go. Well, way to start a conspiracy theory.
Maybe he is, maybe he isn't.
Next you're going to say he colored his hair.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. All I know is it's an awful lot of coverage, and it bums me out after a while.
Sure. Like,
come on, it happened. Don't turn it into a JFK thing.
Right.
Because they love showing the footage of JFK being taken down the street. And, you know, not the same circumstance.
Not at all.
Not at all. But... whatever.
But a state funeral is a state funeral, and that's you're going to get it whether you like it or not. And
whatever.
And I will think about your conspiracy theory all night long. It's not really him in there.
And also, it's on too many stations. Mm-hmm. It's just on too many stations.
I know. Everywhere. You know what? I think you know what the main issue is here, Buzz. Listen. It's interfering with your magic box, isn't it?
Do you know what? You know what station it was on today?
What?
The NFL Channel.
Oh. Well, there it is.
Oh, that's the
there
end
it is. And you that's why you're upset.
And you know what it was? They ran the footage of when the Redskins won the Super Bowl when Doug Williams threw those touchdown passes.
And he made the phone call?
No, it was when they were on the lawn of the White House.
Okay.
And I want to throw a pass to Ricky Sanders.
Sure.
And he throws the old man pass. They ran the whole, 5 minutes because it's the only film they've got of Reagan doing anything.
I know, and you want more of your NFL.
Like, come on.
Nothing gets in the way of your NFL.
It's not a bulletin to me that Reagan is dead. You know what's a bulletin to me, NFL Channel? The fact that Tom Coughlin said that Jesse Palmer, the Bachelor, right now is the starting quarterback of the New York Giants.
That's frightening.
It's a news bulletin to me that Bill Parcells says that one of his coaches has got a Jap attack.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a bulletin to me.
But never fear. They won't have this on TBS.
That's true.
It won't
be there.
It won't be on America's Superstation.
The city of Orlando, Florida cannot legalize drinking and driving and get away with it.
Were you just dissing Superstation TBS?
How could I possibly do that?
Okay. Watch it.
It's your alternative channel. You guys don't watch your Little House on the Prairie anymore, do you?
Oh, you know what? They took it off.
Yeah.
You know what they run instead now? Dawson's Creek.
Oh, is that disappointing to you?
Kills me.
Absolutely. Now I've got to go over to the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, my God, that's bad.
It's there now.
And PAX.
Can you name the Hallmark Channel?
Isn't it 312?
It is. It is, Rain Man.
It is.
Oh, way to go, see you. The city of Orlando, Florida.
Okay, cannot... GB.
Okay, DA.
Hey, hold it. How come he's the chosen one? You're the gold boy, and I'm dumbass. Excuse me.
I couldn't think of anything.
It's Mr.
Right
dumbass. At least make me MDA.
You know,
Mr.
Whatever,
dumbass.
MDA, absolutely.
MDA.
It all ties together on this show, doesn't it?
I'm MDA.
MDA.
Hey, Don Geronimo here. I am MDA.
And I apologize. That was just the Little House on the Prairie thing. Whatever. I think of you guys sitting there watching that, you know.
Great show.
Yeah. We did like it.
Eating popcorn, watch a Little House on the Prairie.
Go to the Mercantile, see what's happening with the crazy Olsons.
I'll never understand that. No. I think that's where the bond really began with you two.
Get on the Garvey.
When they first got the Princess phone.
Absolutely. So Orlando, Florida is doing the next best thing to legalizing drinking and driving. They're legalizing having an open container of alcohol in the car.
Well.
That's right. Quoting one supporter of the change, say on Memorial Day you go to a couple of barbecues and say you're going from one to another and you have a beer.
Joe.
The way it stands now in Orlando, you can go to jail for 2 months for having that open beer, even if you're under the legal limit for blood alcohol content.
Joe.
As one city official explains, it's still against the law. You just won't be arrested for it. Truth is, Orlando's just matching its law with the state law, which allows for a $40 fine instead of the 2 months in jail.
I think that's reasonable.
Progressive government in Orlando.
Buzz, break here when we come back. What is next on the news and the comments?
Bald is now officially a hair color.
Hey, well, there you go. Then I've got it.
Wow.
Hey, Baldy. What you staring at? Hey, Baldy. And if I got it, you got it, Rob. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Don, baby. How's it going?
There he is.
Christ, he's the Messiah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on a second. Is this
the wrong choice here?
Oh, it's BTO. I mean, the BTO I wanted.
Backman.
I mean, BTO's okay, but it's got to be a BTO you heard of. Hold on, wait a minute. Give me another chance of that. That's operator error. I wish you could blame a machine there.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Tomorrow on the show, some crazy comedy troupe. They probably stink. Rob's got the information on. Who are they, Rob?
They're the Atlanta-based quartet Southern Discomfort. And they're debuting their new routine, Dueling Elvises.
I like them already.
No, you don't.
Sure I do. Also tomorrow, the president of CBS,
yeah,
the new president of Infinity Broadcasting, Les Moonves.
Yeah, get ready to see us on our knees smooching.
You know, I'm going to play it very carefully with him, Mike.
As will I.
And as always, I'll look for you to be my moral compass.
Of course.
However,
you know, we've done it for years.
I will slip in calling him Les Chen.
Mm-hmm.
And I will ask him about the tabloid stories about him.
Okay.
Ooh. I am going to ask him, I believe there's a polite way to ask about his teeth.
Right.
If he's had the veneers.
Right. Da Vinci veneers.
Uh-huh. The Da Vinci veneers.
All right.
And also, I've got some thoughts about the CBS schedule.
Oh, good.
That I want to lay on.
That'll be the best. Rob, part. Before that interview, will you do me a favor? Get my realtor on the phone.
No, he's gonna like us. He's our new boss.
I hope so.
And
we're starting something brand new here. I'm already excited about it.
And also, tomorrow, Jomo's are back.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe Man on the Street interview. Just let me say, those of you who are allergic to poor taste, watch out.
Mm.
We're sending Joe down downtown tomorrow to where some of the Reagan stuff is being set up.
Absolutely.
With questions and a tape recorder.
Yeah, just a man on the street interview.
There he is.
Very good.
Vietnam vet Joe Orton.
Excellent.
And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
In Montana, bald is now considered a hair color officially. If you go online for a fishing license,
yeah!
For example, one of the options for hair color is bald.
Bald.
The option starting to show up on other official other state forms as well, along with another new hair color choice, sandy.
Sandy?
Yes, sandy.
Well, I guess that's legit, though. I mean, if you're using it for the purposes of identification.
Right.
And you don't have any. And yeah. I guess on your driver's license, if you truly are cue ball bald,
that's the way you
for hair color, you would put bald.
Makes a certain amount of sense.
It's going to upset all the men who are in denial.
Yes. Now, I have tried to avoid the J-Lo story, but it's just so darned interesting. First, there's new husband Mark Anthony on the Today Show refusing to say whether he married J-Lo over the weekend, even though he was wearing what appeared to be a wedding band on his left hand. He told Matt Lauer it's personal. And then
I saw him on The View, I guess a couple hours later, where he did say...
Oh, that, he did come around?
He did say that they got married, but he said the same thing. My life is personal, and what I'm going to talk about has nothing to do with anybody else, so please allow me my privacy.
And in less than 1 year's time, she will bump me like a sack of potatoes. Yeah, he wouldn't even acknowledge it on Today. Then there's the report in the New York Post that says the wedding was so sudden because J-Lo's pregnant. The paper says her strict Catholic upbringing would not allow her to give birth out of wedlock, and that's why the rush.
Really? And incidentally, if you're counting, the first guy, I had it wrong yesterday, the first guy was a lackey that she worked with.
Right.
The second guy wasn't a dancer. The second guy was, like, involved in her career somehow. Okay. And then she was involved with Puffy.
Right.
And she was involved with Ben Affleck.
And now it's Mark Anthony. But she was involved with Mark Anthony in between there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was. She dated in between. So this is her third marriage, but fifth major boyfriend in, like, 5 minutes.
So we have. And for those of you that live locally, you might be familiar with her new brother-in-law.
Who's that?
Paul.
Paul?
Anthony. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's for everyone in this studio. That is really, I'd like to apologize to all of my...
Have you thought about donating to WETA Channel 26?
Paul Anthony.
Paul's a great
You know, I can't get my voice. I can't get it nasal enough.
This is Paul Anthony.
Hi, this is Paul Anthony. Are you watching this crap on Channel 26?
Hasn't this folk's music been great?
Paul Anthony.
Say, who doesn't like Peter, Paul, and Mary? Call now and get this beautiful tote bag.
Congratulations to my sister-in-law, J-Lo. I'm Paul Anthony.
So there's the Mark Anthony weirdness, and then there's the rumor about the pregnancy, and then there's the aforementioned Sean Puffy, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy Combs. He gives the couple, Mark and J-Lo, his blessing, but as he said on TV last night, that's my girl for life.
That's my man. That's my man.
Yeah, that'll make a guy feel comfortable.
Sean Combs.
Should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Is the latest Shrek movie an attack on family values?
Yes, Buzz.
The Traditional Values Coalition thinks so.
What was the question?
Is the Shrek movie an attack on family values?
No, Buzz, no.
Okay, better answer.
I have seen Shrek one time and part of a second time. Uh-huh. When I took my kids over the weekend and Harry Potter was sold out,
right.
So they wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
For them would be a third time, and
right.
Then they only got about a quarter of the way through it. But I see nothing in it that would indicate that.
Well, the Traditional Values Coalition sees something in it. It's warning parents that Shrek 2 furthers what it calls the transgender agenda.
Aye.
The cartoon movie features an evil bartender voiced by Larry King. The bartender has a 5 o'clock shadow and breasts, which are tastefully hidden under his...
Is that Larry King's voice?
Or dress. That's Larry King.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Quoting a coalition spokesman, during a dance scene at the end of the movie, this transgendered man expresses sexual desire for Prince Charming, jumps on him, and both tumble to the floor.
That is so wrong, because what it is, it's just like the ugly bartender.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, it's a woman who's just ugly.
How about this?
What?
There's the scene in which Pinocchio denies wearing women's underwear, and his nose begins to grow when he makes that denial.
Yes, and it's a joke.
Transgender agenda.
Oh, come on.
Traditional Values Coalition.
Oh, boy.
Not to mention also in that movie, the Big Bad Wolf and Grandma's Nighty.
Huh? I've not even seen Shrek. Mike says it's funny as hell.
You know, there are those three guys.
They're winning you over, aren't they?
Come on, Mike. Be strong, Mike.
Prince Charming goes up, and you've got the Big Bad Wolf who's in a grandma's nightie.
Yeah. So what?
And then you got Pinocchio who is wearing women's underwear.
So what?
And then you do have the bartender who has a man's voice, looks like a man, and is wearing
all
a dress.
All right, Gary Falwell, you win. I'm for him.
Guys in dresses is funny.
Don't we know?
That's right.
Right.
See you later.
And I really can't wait this weekend.
Yeah?
I'm not kidding. For the Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
If that doesn't look to me like, first off, like a dream scenario. Second off, you know who looks the best in that? Is scary Christopher Walken.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's married to Glenn Close in the movie. And the ads are beyond great.
Yes, I hope it's good. They've got a lot to live up to. I think they're making this one a little more lighthearted.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, they are.
A comedy version of the original made-for-TV movie.
Very cool.
Yes, and I loved explaining it to my kid the other day.
Right.
Nobody
knows.
And I said, Mom and a friend and I go out on Saturday. We go to a movie together.
Right.
Whatever the big movie is, we're going to go see. We've decided this now. And I said to her this morning, I'm going to pick it this weekend. I'm going to pick one I bet you don't want to go see.
Right.
I bet you want to see, but you think I don't. Stepford Wives.
I didn't know it was going to be a comedy.
Bart said, what's it about? I said, it's like a dream. All the women are robots.
Yes, and programmed for their men.
They love just to serve their men.
Never any trouble.
And he said, what was the other one? I said, the other one was like serious.
Yeah, it was like kind of, came out around the same time as a movie called Westworld,
mm-hmm.
which was another robotic movie.
Yeah.
And very, very scary.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a scary cautionary tale. This is more of a dark comedy.
All right, good.
This looks good, though. Yeah. I love that. I'd love to get me a step for
I'll be
wife.
Damned if you're not going to see that movie.
I'll be damned.
Christopher Walken.
Finally, you're an American in China. You're visiting the cash machine. Chinese thugs approach you and demand that you give them your PIN number. What do you do?
Oh, hold on. I'll tell you exactly what I do. Okay. Hold on. Here's what I do.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Yeah?
No.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well.
Yeah?
And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Oh, now you're dead.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Parzell.
Now, American Tom Beckett got resourceful when this happened to him as a visitor to China. He faked an epileptic seizure. This freaked out the robbers, who doused him with water and pumped his chest. and then took his cash and his watch. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yep, no! That's it. We are out of time.
No, no.
Another big one tomorrow. We'll see you then. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you, La-La.
Yes, it's the Hallmark Channel.
La-La, 312. I'll meet you there. Channel 312. What channel is Trio?
Oh, it's...
315.
You're right.
315, right. Richard. Okay, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Turn off the iron.
Eat a lot.
Meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Howard Stern on your way to work. Don and Mike on your way home. 106.7 WJFK.
Hello, this is Radio's Mike O'Mara, and if you know anything about me, you know I'm also an incurable golfer. And I'll tell you right now, some of the most fun I've had recently was a shopping trip to Golfdom. Golfdom is the biggest golf store in the area, and now it's the only place I shop for golf gear. It's also at the top of my Father's Day wish list, in Tyson's Corner at Route 7 and 123. Golfdom has everything a golfer could want, including the TaylorMade R7 quad driver, the Ping Crazy putter, and the new Cleveland Golf CG10 wedge. They even have clothing by Tommy Bahama and performance wear from Nike Dry Fit, Greg Norman Play Dry, and Adidas Climacool. And if you become a VIG like me, a very important golfer, you can get rebates of up to 10%. I like that. It's nice. Golfdom, the only stop you need to make for Father's Day. Route 7 and 123, or call them at 703-790-8844. That's 703-790-8844. Golfdom, live the game.
Michael Mirror.